of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
liberty and justice for all. Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight. Somebody's gotta stand up. Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside. I am American. That's what I am. That's what I say.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. We're a total mess. I haven't even set you the music yet, Bob. I'll do that here.
Some people are a total mess.
Well, you know, it's just I just got back from my vacation. I'm not sure I would consider it a vacation, but I did get a lot of sleep. I still feel like I got something here. The kids are all sick still. 3 o'clock in the morning, Aaron's throwing up. It's like unbelievable. So anyway, I'm back here. Exactly. It's January 10th, 2016. So this is my first show in 2016. I don't know. I'm telling you, it just goes on and on and on.
Yeah, it's on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda, as usual.
Good morning.
Good morning. Bob Martin, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Bob.
And Linda. And Red.
And Red Smith, who's been on the blended glide path to inappropriate assumption of solvency for quite some time.
I went off the glide path.
With a soft guarantee of improbable financial stability post-employment.
there you go.
Excuse me.
And that continues to get worse, too.
Yeah, you know, it's not getting better out there. You know, I don't care who's blowing smoke up, who's behind, but... You know, anybody who's got any common sense that looks around out there knows that we're going into a global recession. All you got to do is look at some of the stuff that's going on. And, you know, other than, you know, you can watch CNN and, you know, you can get the, you know, the host with the most smoke, you know. But or CNBC or Fox News doesn't touch anything at all. It's crazy out there and going to get crazier, guys. You know, I mean, I've been saying it for quite some time now, and I'm not wrong about it. Might be wrong about the time frames, might be wrong about, you know, when everything happens, might be wrong about some things. But I'm not wrong about the big picture here. So pay attention. Anyway, we're streaming worldwide. You can go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. All of our shows are podcast and archived as well. And you can go to friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m. at 2570 South Bonneville Destiny Fellowship, and they stand for Limited Government Fiscal Responsibility and Adherence to the Constitution. Does anybody have any idea who's there on Monday?
Sam Paredes is on Monday.
Sam Paredes on Monday. He's on our show today as well.
Yes, he should be calling in about 11 o'clock.
Very good. You've been listening to Jefferson State of Mind, and I got a little bit of that, but I didn't catch a whole lot of it.
Mainly just talking about Declaration Day, that Wednesday is a fantastic day down there in Sacramento. Easily north of 500 people showed up in the rain and the wind, and fantastic speeches. 15 more counties went in to the state parliamentarian, the Senate Pro Tem, the Secretary of State. It was kind of funny because the Secretary of State thought they had a new way figured out not to accept the declarations. Every time they go in there, the Secretary of State's got a new method or thought on how they're going to get out of taking these things. And that was a little bit of a hiccup that took some ironing out, but they ended up having to take them anyways because they understood finally that it wasn't Mark Baird giving them declarations. He was simply acting as the process server for the various counties.
This just in from Rally Sally in the chat.
Bill Chappelle is Monday.
Chappelle. Oh, I was wrong.
Oh,
I think Sam Paredes is the week
Oh, next week?
After.
Yeah. All right. So, Bill Chappelle, sorry about that,
sorry
guys.
Sorry about that, guys. I was off.
Yes. But we will have Sam Paredes on.
He's on the 25th, yeah. Okay. It's a good, I have my days mixed up, you
good
know?
Good thing someone's paying attention around here. Thank you, Sally. We appreciate everything you do. You know, it's crazy out there. I really wish I could have been there for the Declaration Day, but I couldn't. But I followed it all on, you know, I mean.
It was great.
The media, yeah, I saw you. Excuse me.
We were all
you
over
made
that.
You made one of the video clips. I didn't see Red in any of the video clips.
I was just trying to kind of do my thing and say hi to people. And, you know, I was trying to get a feel on the crowd and how things are going. And I'm vastly, vastly encouraged. People are on fire for this. And I
don't know how you didn't make a video clip, though, because when we pulled up in the bus and I looked up and was wondering.
Did you do an interview?
Yeah, I did a couple.
Yeah.
That's what I saw. Yeah. I saw a news media interview with one. And the media reporting that I did see, I saw one from Cecile. I can't think of her last name. Juliet Cecile, or what's her name?
That the one from Action News?
Yeah.
No, she, I think by far, probably did one of the better interviews. She actually took the time to find out what we were doing and why, and did pretty good reporting it.
Yeah, I was surprised. They actually did a decent job in reporting everything down there. For all of us.
That's kind of
for a change,
exactly,
you know what I mean?
Change, yeah.
It was nice to see. Yeah, we had a good turnout, even in the rain and the wind.
It's Cecile Juliet. I have her in my cell phone here. But really nice lady. I've done a couple interviews with her before on the IRS scandal with the attacking of the conservative groups and so forth. And that's not gone away either, quite frankly. I sent out a missive on that, and you know there should be an update.
Yeah,
on
I
that
haven't.
Pretty
yeah,
soon.
I haven't.
Yeah.
Been able to read
that yet.
Yeah.
It's
so
63
but,
pages of crap.
Yeah, but it hasn't gone away.
It's funny.
We haven't stopped going after them. And
as soon as I get in front of the microphone, I start coughing for some reason. So I feel fine. Everything's good. I'm a little stuffy this morning. But it's not going away.
Yeah.
A lot of this stuff is just not going away, like CalPERS. It's not going away.
Well, it is in a fashion going away.
Yeah, it's
the solvency is going away.
Well, the blended glide path is blending. It's like putting in a blender. So, but I guess I'll come up with a quote to, you know, we'll do the Who Said That quote. The problem with socialism is that eventually you run out of other people's money. I'm pretty sure everybody knows who said that. Anybody know?
Margaret Thatcher.
There you go. So
the Iron Lady.
Yep, the Iron Lady. So let's see. I'm going to send send Bob some.
I was going to say, who's Bill?
I don't know.
Because somebody else in the studio I'm not aware of? I thought I could see everybody.
I'm delusional at this point.
He's going to send it to Bill Chappelle.
we're all messed up with people anyway.
Yeah, anyway, it's kind of one of those days. But
while you're doing that, I just wanted to put out there, I don't know if people know that, you know, coming on the 16th, they're having a fundraiser for Millie and Kathy down there at the Wind River. You know, those ladies are great with Classic Cafe and all their pictures and all the information they have about veterans down there. And they're having this fundraiser because they need a new ice maker, a deep fryer, and they would like to reupholster their booth down there. So if you can come out and show your support or even donate to the cause, I mean, these ladies do everything in the community for the veterans without ever, you know, asking for much. So if you can find it in your heart to help them out down there, go ahead and do it. Again, that's January 16th down at Wind River.
Very good. I didn't have a chance. I guess I never even touched my computer the whole 9 days that I was gone. I mean, I was on my cell phone and I was monitoring videos and stuff, and I did get that emailed to you, Bob. But I didn't get a chance to listen to last week's show. So how'd you guys do?
We did pretty good. We what all did we do? We had Roberts. Robert did an interview with a radio station.
Yeah, out of Oregon, about the situation in Eastern Oregon.
Yeah.
So, Again, I'll have to go back and listen to it and see what happened. But
yeah, we did real good last week.
Good.
Of course we did. It was me and Robert. Just, yeah, you know, me and Robert do just fine.
There's the life. I mean, that's what I'm looking for. Bring the life out.
We did great. But, we had touched on that subject quite a bit, actually.
So have we got a video that... Yeah. Have we got a video that we want to queue up for... you got two of them. Chris Ann Hall, which I think we should queue up and maybe start with that one first and talk about a little bit about this Oregon thing. I don't know if we need to go to a break and give Bob a chance to get it all together there, but, you know,
you
we're
probably
right
want to qualify some of what's happened, why, and what's going on now, because the 3%ers actually arrived on the scene yesterday, and there's kind of an explanation of what they're up to that needs to be given out too, because it's kind of a interesting situation that started to play out up there.
Wow. So
why don't we go ahead and take a break? And
I guess we will go to a break. If you want to call in after the clip and you have any questions or concerns, give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460, your talk radio station. On Monday, we welcome Record Searchlight and managing editor Carol Ferguson. Let's find out what her thoughts are on the biggest stories of 2015 and what's coming up in 2016. This and much more, Monday, right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Whether it's a 7-year-old battling cancer, a dad injured in a car accident, or me, a mom of two saved by blood transfusions. Every 3 seconds, someone is in need of blood. You don't have to be a doctor, a firefighter, or a police officer to save lives like mine. Donating blood makes you a hero. Contact Blood Centers of the Pacific at our own Reading Shasta Blood Center, 221-0600.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Reading Yellow Cab and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Reading Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Reading Yellow Cab and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. yes. Smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, it's Linda Bott and Molly Kidd. Join us on Thursday night during On the Spot at 6 p.m.
Also on the first Thursday of every month, join Rhonda Ball and James Masada from Enjoy the Magazine. We bring you art, entertainment, food, highlights, and all the stuff going on in the North State.
Don't forget the giveaways, lots of laughs, and great information.
That's On the Spot Thursdays at 6 p.m.
here on KCNR 1460.
Brought to you by Dandelion Gift and Apparel, Wind River Resort at Casino, and Crackmaster Windshield and Repair.
KCNR 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR 1460 AM.
Going to get the opinion page.
Yeah, some people need to really get over it.
I mean, I think our editor of the Wretched Fleshlight, I mean, I'm sorry, the Record Searchlight, what a fraud in my throat. But Silas Lyons has got something wrong with him.
Wow. You're not kidding. If you haven't read this article, it's just
He went full retard. Don't ever go full retard. He went full retard on that.
The allegiance to California itself inspires so many who know it best understand and what's wrong with it and love it anyway. Are you freaking kidding me? What have you been reading, Mein Kampf or something on late night? No.
Drinking the Kool-Aid.
Hey, you might want to check the expiration date on his granola.
Well,
I don't know.
You know, and the fact that he was born in West Virginia, you know, we'll let that slide. West Virginia is a great state, but I was born here in California. Yeah, and he must have moved here at a young age because it was like winning the lottery living in California at one time. But
yeah, it's not now.
It's not anymore because they have screwed this place up so bad with their left-wing liberal crap that it's almost to the point it's unrecognizable from what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay as long as we hold an allegiance to some word, California. You know, as Arnold would say, California.
Well, that's one of the things he says is, you know, all of the great songs and everything written about California. How does Pennsylvania survive without all the songs from California?
How does
Montana or maybe we should have stayed a British colonies? That way we could have had the Beatles and the Stones.
Huh. What?
Yeah, exactly.
This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life, and it's par. you know, instead of having allegiance to the founding principles that made California a great state, which was freedom, lack of government, you know, self-reliance, you know, work ethic.
Ability for upward maneuverability.
Yeah. You know, not some top-down, heavy, overburdensome government that has their hand up your box of cereal.
It's the granola.
It's the granola.
It's the granola. And the granola.
Every time you freaking turn around. You know, DMV fees, license fees. You know, you can't do anything around here. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I used to buy a fishing license for like a buck.
Yeah, but the name California.
Oh, California.
Ah. Yeah, the name California is what it's all about, right?
Yeah, I wish I had that, you know, that Arnold Schwarzenegger clip we can bring up. First they tax the toilets, then they tax the this, and then they tax the that, then they tax your walnuts.
Yeah. Well, you know, another thing that Silas points out is that we're the state that movies come from. I didn't realize that Silas was that big of a porn fan.
I think what it is is that he's actually been moonlighting at some of the parties with the swells, like, who was it that wanted the baseball team?
Francie.
Three Strikes Sullivan.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
They must be eating the same granola.
Yeah, Francie at the bat.
Yeah, I don't know how else to put it, except he went full retard on that.
Yeah, he's joining the Mudville Nine here, but... unbelievable. So,
is that today's paper? I take it it's
today's. January 10th, Sunday.
Yeah. So if you happen to get the paper, and check it out to see just what we're talking about on this, it's just unbelievable.
This would be over the top for a tourist guide.
Yeah.
Yeah,
come to the sunny part of the North State where, you know, 85% of the people are in poverty living in tents. But guess what? They make movies down south.
Yeah.
Yeah, temperatures never below 72 degrees. Which part of California are you talking about?
Because he never goes out of his house?
Yeah, you ever been outside your own front door here?
Yeah, I keep it at a safe 72 degrees.
Saving energy.
Yeah.
I mean... the guy needs to come back down to earth.
Yeah, just unbelievable.
What about the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors? What about them, Silas?
Yeah.
How do those... what a putt.
And I guess with that, we do have a caller on the line before we go any further. Good morning, Round Mountain Bob. How are you?
Hey, we're doing good there, Linda, and yourself. Hey, tell Big Brother to get well, you know. We're tired of holding them up, you know. Hey, on this thing about this reporter in the paper, you know, if California's so good to him, you know, maybe he ought to go to Southern California, because I lived in both Southern and Northern California, and up here in Northern California, they don't even know who we are, you know. So if he thinks this is so great, good. You know, I don't know what to tell him, but tell him that's why they can't sell newspapers, because they can't tell the truth.
Yeah, they seem to have a honesty deficit on their paper editorials and their opinion and page.
Well, they have problems with priorities. That's for sure.
And if you write a letter,
there you go.
If you write a letter that contests anything with facts, they don't print it. Wow. Where did they used to do that? In Russia? Pravda? Now the only place we can get any news is out of Russia. You know?
Yeah. More out of Pravda than you do. Get out of our local paper. You know, I remember when reporters stood up on their 2 feet and they wrote what it may have been controversial or whatever you want, but they wrote the truth. And to tell you what things were. I mean, they brought up subjects, they did things, and today these guys are like they're in quicksand or something. They're afraid to open their mouth about anything in a proper way.
Well, the thing is it not upset because he doesn't think much of the state of Jefferson, or that he thinks staying with California is the best thing. You know, if he showed up with some kind of fact or idea or legitimate sentiment about you know, why California is great. But he's babbling to the point of we need to stay with California because when he was a teenager in West Virginia, everybody thought he had rock hard abs and girls wore bikinis. What are you mouth breathing about over here? I mean, are you kidding me? This is complete diatribical nonsense. It's not an argument.
He wants to live in a state where they medicate.
He needs some meds.
Yeah.
It's not an argument. I can have respect for someone who disagrees with a point of view or an opinion or a movement or something if it's based on something. But if it's based on the name California and what girls in West Virginia thought when you were in high school, you're an idiot.
And what movies and
It could be based on the fact that we have over-the-counter Kush Bud down at the pharmacy.
No, that wasn't even intelligent enough of a statement for a stoner. He doesn't get to even qualify as that. This is full retard. Nothing but.
All we just need is a couple. We just need a couple of like, well, man.
Well, the big thing is, I grew up in this state in Southern California from I was 9 years old. I seen it go from farmland and growth to the space shuttle and everything that run all through Southern California and put people to work. And aerospace and all this kind of stuff to put people to work. And look at what they're doing now. They're forcing, California is forcing all these places out of California. I mean, not only in Northern California, but Southern California, Central California. And they just don't seem to want business or whatever, which takes and builds their state, not tears it down.
Well, you know, let's just be honest. What's happened here in the United States, in California, the head of the spear, because, you know, what's coming out of Washington, is that we have got a communist, progressive, Marxist, whatever you want to call it, socialistic takeover of our government and our country. And that's what it is. And the media won't report it because the people that implemented it bought
the
media.
Yeah,
they bought the media.
They're afraid to report it. They don't have legs to stand on anymore. They're afraid that if they say something, they're going to lose their job.
That's it.
Yeah.
Reporters aren't anymore.
No, they're ideologically driven purveyors of facts that aren't really facts. They're opinions.
Well, there's supposed to be journalism going on there, and journalists, and they're not.
Let me ask a question, because it's a complete fallacy of an argument anyways. If we get the state of Jefferson, will they no longer make movies in California? Will they no longer write songs about California?
Oh, no, it'll change all of that. They won't be able to do that.
Will it no longer be 72 degrees in Southern California? Like, the weather's going to be like, oh, no, I don't want anywhere near that Jefferson border, and pack up and go to Mexico?
I guess it all depends if you sold your car credits or whatever.
Not only is it nonsensical crap, but it's a fallacy of an argument. He knows what a fallacy is. He went to journalism school, which means it's an intentional. It qualifies as full retard and nothing but.
Fallacy or fallacy?
Yeah. He was interested in somebody's phallus, that's for sure.
Well, I got one thing to tell him. If they don't start writing the right stuff and tell the people the truth, they'll never sell papers anymore.
Well, they're already going under.
They're going to lose their computer paper.
Well, that's the problem we got across the board, is telling the truth, whether it's the local paper or local officials. Mm-hmm. It's telling the truth. That's the issue that we have.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And like you say, it used to be the papers would come from a perspective of freedom and prosperity and business, you know, to make that a better standard of living for everybody. Now it's like, hey, you know, who's going to stand in line to get their freebie and what's for me? And that makes a great economy, just like you can see it in Reading. You know, half of us are, you know, either on some government assistant program or some subsidy, and that turns you into a free man, doesn't it? I mean, then you don't have to depend on anybody for your living or anything like that. Or does that make you dependent on Sacramento?
Well, like I said, I've never depended on any of them. I'm 71 years old, and I'll tell you what, I've worked all my life, and I've gotten what I've got because I worked for it. And I taught my kids the same thing, that you're never going to get anywhere or do anything if you don't get your carcass out there and work your butt off and make something of
yourself. Well, here's the problem, Bob. I totally agree with you to one point, except for one thing. They can no longer make it. Even if they work anymore, because you got somebody in your pocket every step of the way. If you go out and get a job right now, you really can't make a living.
It's even hard in businesses.
Yes, I know.
Because people can't go out there and start up a business like we used to be able to.
I mean, you know, you got a tax every step of the way. You got somebody in your pocket every step of the way, whether it's out of your paycheck. You got FICA, SDI, Medicare, Medi-Cal. You know, you got the government. And then as soon as you get your paycheck, then they want their license fees, their DMV fees, their property taxes.
Their fuel fees.
Yeah. You know, there's 150 taxes on a loaf of bread. They proved it because... if you go from manufacturer through the railway systems over land, transportation, they're all paying their taxes along the way. It's all tacked onto the cost of loaf of bread. And then on top of that, if you start printing money so that it devalues the currency that you do have in existence, what happens is it turns you into a poverty-stricken state, and that's exactly what they're doing. So not only do you have to work hard now, if you don't work smart, you'll never get anything anywhere. And then they give up, and then they go to the government to ask for help. That's the plan. And then the government, you know, bleeds the guys who are working and making it still, but they're becoming fewer and farther between. You know, so what do you? We got to reverse this whole thing. And
okay, you have a good one.
All right,
thanks for calling in, Bob.
Sorry.
But yeah, it's just crazy.
Was that ranting?
Well, a bit, yeah. But yeah. I mean, again, when you lay out there the issues and the genuine problems that we're facing as citizens and as people, and then you get something like what Silas wrote to defend it and to just try to kind of whitewash everything and try to make it go away, it's insulting.
Well, and then
it's condescending. And to write this as a defense of the state of Jefferson, his readers ought to be insulted because he's insulting their intelligence. And this is so condescending to the people that read this paper that this is any kind of legitimate defense, and that he thinks that his readers are so stupid that they would buy this. Mm-hmm. They ought to be insulted.
Yeah.
Well, we're a bunch of hayseeds, right?
I just wonder how he's going to feel when they put him on the train. If they put California on the side of the boxcar, is he going to still be happy?
California.
Oh, sorry.
You have to say it correctly. California.
I'm just saying, you know?
With a K.
With a K. California.
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 You know, I'm looking at an article here from Market Watch before we go to the break, and here's the title of it. This is Market Watch and Wall Street Journal stuff. Most Americans are one paycheck away from the street. This was published on January 6th.
There's no savings left in this country.
Well, they did a poll. They said that hardly anybody even has $500 cash in their pocket to fix their car.
Right. Approximately 63% of Americans have no emergency savings for such things as an emergency room visit, a $500 car repair, according to a survey released Wednesday of 1,000 adults by personal finance bank site Bankrate.com, up slightly from 62% last year. Are we getting better?
Yeah. We're all a paycheck away from Cuba.
I'm feeling like the recovery's on. You know? The recovery's on. All this talk, this negativity. You know, I think what we should just go out and it's never less than 72 degrees outside. Why don't we just go out and put a diaper on and lay out in the street and bask in the sunny...
sunny California.
Glow of California.
California.
California is California.
California.
The state of California.
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 California. California.
Yeah, that was good, Bob.
There you have it. So I guess I'm not sure which California that Silas wants to live in.
California.
California is California.
That
California.
One.
The state of California.
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 And I guess the fact that he was a Republican.
He was?
Well, he said he was.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do to get elected anymore. Say
if I say I can fly, would you let me jump off the building?
Probably
would.
It's a tough question.
I'm just saying, it might be a little hard to stop you. You know, I might have a hard time getting.
Could I have another category? So I would rather live in California, not California. And I don't care if we turn. I don't care if we turn it into the state of Jefferson and call it California, because it's still going to be Northern California. But California, as far as I'm concerned, is anything south of Red Bluff.
I don't care what the name of the state is, to be honest. I just want to be free and have liberty. You know, come on.
That's what I'm talking about. Isn't that the stupidest thing you've ever heard?
I'm serious. It's insulting to people's intelligence. That is probably one of the most aggravating pieces of tripe I've read out of the Searchlight. Wow.
It's the same tripe that these left-wing morons have been peddling about the recovery for 7 years now. Come on. You know, you believe anything these morons tell you? Do you believe anything these rubes, these dupes, these paid-off special interest morons tell you anymore? Does anybody believe anything that comes out of mainstream media at all? Do they have any credibility at all? Do you believe that the Fed is going to raise interest rates again? Because we're doing so well.
Yeah.
We're going to have some more rate hikes.
Yeah.
You know, things are going so well. Jerry Brown's preaching more taxes, more taxes, more taxes this next cycle.
Yeah, well, that's always his answer.
Yeah. In the meantime, he covers up one of the biggest natural disasters in California history. It could be even, you know, because he's got ties to somebody who's the head of the company that's... we'll go into that later.
There's a bit to that story. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid, just as long as you stand by me. So darling,
hi, I'm Rich Novelli, president of Wellgate Sports Club.
And I'm Allie Evers, proud owner of Boheme Spa.
At Wellgate, we're dedicated to building a club focused on improving the quality of your life, which is why we are so excited to introduce our new partner, Boheme Spa.
Thank you, Rich. Both Boheme Spa and Wellgate Sports Club share the same business philosophy and commitment to mind, body, and health. Conveniently located inside the Wellgate Sports Club, Boheme Spa is Redding's premier Aveda concept spa, featuring the complete line of Aveda products and Aveda signature services.
Wellgate Sports Club, in partnership with Boheme Spa, is proud to announce a groundbreaking new membership category called Rejuvenate. In addition to a standard premium access membership, Rejuvenate members receive 2 spa treatments per month from Boheme Spa for the term of the membership.
Reward yourself for your hard work and effort at the club with relaxing and restorative treatments.
Call 768-1205 today. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Abby, will you be joining us January as we kick off the 2016 Haven Humane Society's Second Tuesday Dinners at Kahuna's Mongolian Barbecue?
Yes, I love seeing the grill warriors cooking on that Mongolian grill.
That's right. And with something for everyone, it's a lot of fun loading up your bowl with all your favorites, creating your own stir fry and sauce combinations.
Please join us on Tuesday, January 12th at Kahuna's Mongolian Barbecue on Market Street as they kindly donate a portion of the proceeds to Haven to help care for the animals and work towards placing them in forever homes.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
By now, I'm sure you're aware of the many advantages solar energy offers you and your family. Clearly, solar is finding its way into our everyday life. Hi, my name is Sue Blake of Powerhouse Solar. At Powerhouse Solar, we've been installing solar systems on North State homes since 2003. It's important to know that all solar is not the same. As a solar contractor, we partner with SunPower because having just celebrated their 30th anniversary in the solar industry, they have a proven track record. SunPower is an American solar company which developed and patented the industry's most efficient solar cells and solar panels on the market for a complete solar energy solution. There are many cost-effective solar packages available, some starting for less than a cup of coffee a day. And we want you to have the information you need so that you know of all the solar options available for your family. Experience and commitment to quality. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Well, we all made it through Christmas and we're bearing down on New Year's. We got two more used heaters in and ready to go and a whole bunch of new ones that just came in. So give Johnny a call and get a free estimate. Northern Lights Energy, kerosene heaters and on-demand water heaters is what we do. If you're tired of big electric and propane bills, come on in and let us show you how we can save you money. We have red and clear diesel, kerosene, gasoline at all of our plants and card locks. If you need a 5-gallon pail or a whole truckload, give us a call. In Corning, see Miss Robin. Weaverville, see Joe. And in Redding, ask for Kathy, Sherry, or Candace. From all of us at Northern Lights Energy, happy holidays, and we do appreciate your business. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Radio, we're back, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State, where we actually try to tell the truth. Wow, imagine that. You know, as opposed to Silas Lyons, who lives in
La La Land.
Come with me, and you'll be in a world.
I love movies and baseball.
What we'll see
and music.
Will defy
and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Rock hard abs and girls in bikinis.
If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it.
Can I get a chocolate bar?
Where it's never below 72 degrees.
Life I know.
And I have a huge everlasting gobslobber.
Living there, you'll be free. If you truly.
You just have to believe that you're not a slave.
Yeah.
Just believe.
But we've got Disneyland.
Just keep it in your imagination.
We have the Magic Kingdom.
That's right. And it has to go all the way to Oregon.
Yeah. Oh Lordy.
Boy.
Yeah, just
well with that, let's cue
up. In the state of Jefferson you can now afford the gas to go to Disneyland.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you might actually yeah.
Gas yeah. And a car and
yeah, we might actually have an economy for you to have a job to be able to afford to go.
Yeah.
Do those things.
No, we just need our imagination.
And like you said during the break, it's still the same amount of time to get there. I can, you know, the mileage doesn't change.
Yeah.
As soon as you cross over from the state of Jefferson into California, they start charging you by the
mile to get to Disneyland.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. In
the state of California, I've got to set up a bunch of cardboard boxes and paint them like a princess palace and get in a Mickey Mouse costume and convince my
oh boy.
Kids we're at Disneyland.
We got Mickey Mouse and we got ballerinas and Tinkerbells and tutus.
Jimmy and you, the tutu, and I'm getting a bad feeling here. So let's go ahead and play Bill Whittle here, Afterburner, and we got that pretty much queued up, I think. And this was pretty good. Kind of shows you the state of things a little bit here in the country and California and all that stuff.
California.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Afterburner. I'm Bill Whittle. Well, once again, a new year's upon us, and once again, people tend to do two things at this time of year, make resolutions and make predictions. My New Year's resolution is not to make any New Year's predictions, this year especially because I think that there are so many moving parts this year, and these parts are so big, and their alignment's so potentially enormous with regard to the future of America, that trying to make sense out of what is surely coming in 2016 is like staring out into the fog. But if not to predict, but rather just to speculate for a moment about four of these titanic historical forces, let's start at the bottom. President Obama is entering his final year, and it doesn't look like it's going to be pretty. Already on his fourth Secretary of Defense, we hear new revelations from the previous three of how feckless and unserious he is about the nation's defense. There are unconfirmed reports of him having what was called a hissy fit with top defense officials regarding an upgraded air campaign against ISIS, and he was also reported to be nearly incandescent with rage with FBI Director James Comey when his agency labeled the carnage in San Bernardino as a terrorist attack without getting his permission first. Now, this man, who's denied the reality of what he's created in cooperation with Valerie Jarrett and both of his secretaries of state, is finally discovering that all of the fawning press coverage in the world cannot save him from that reality. And I'm going to speculate that as this trend continues, as he's mocked even by his leftist allies as weak and ineffectual, his final year is going to reveal to all of the American public what those of us who've studied him for 7 years concluded long ago, namely that he's a thin-skinned, incompetent, lazy, and not very bright narcissist who's used the media cloak of invisibility to hover over his own mess for a very, very long time. Hey, speaking of thin-skinned, incompetent, lazy, and not very bright narcissists who've used the media cloak of invisibility to hover over their own messes for a very, very long time, what's going to happen to Hillary Clinton? You know, there's so much about this that's just genuinely depressing, but surely the greatest of it is this. The statutes regarding the retaining of official State Department records and the willful destruction, hiding, or tampering with the same do not say anything about whether or not these records are classified. They simply say that it is illegal to retain them and that the second statute specifically states that anyone found guilty is prohibited from ever again holding any office in the government of the United States. Look, there's simply no question whatsoever that Hillary Clinton has committed scores, if not hundreds, of violations of these statutes. So the question for 2016 is, will her friends in the media be able to continue to cover this up? And more importantly, what will Obama's Justice Department do when the FBI, hey, there's that stubborn James Comey again, messing everything up by attempting to do his job. What happens when the FBI finally brings in its bulging case of evidence against Hillary Clinton? Because, you see, we no longer live in a nation of laws. If we did, this woman wouldn't be running for office. She'd be running for Mexico. Will Obama deign to order his attorney general lapdog to prosecute, or will he, with the wave of an imperial hand, simply let her walk? Well, there's arguments to be made both ways, but if she does walk and if she is elected, she will enter the office of the presidency as the most corrupt, lawless, mean-spirited creature ever to crawl out of a too faraway toilet, and her custom-made Oval Office rug had damn well better be made out of vinyl to be able to be washed off with a garden hose, and frequently. And then there's this guy. You know, Donald Trump gives me whiplash. He'll say two or three things that have me absolutely cheering to the rafters, and then in the next breath, he'll say something so appalling that I can hear my vertebrae pop. It's just infuriating. At first, I thought he would soon fade. Now, as I write this, staring into the fog of 2016, I still wonder whether he can maintain this lead as the number of candidates drops from 122 or whatever it is down to 3 or 4. Certainly, the longer the format, the less likely the quick soundbite, and while some of them have been appalling, all of them have been memorable, can be seen as a real substitute for actual policy. And will a likely win, or at least a solid second for Ted Cruz in Iowa, give the American people a new look at him or any of the other candidates as we move into the primaries? You'd think so. You'd actually kind of hope so. And finally, to the threats. Will we see more ISIS attacks on American soil? Sadly, this is the one thing I feel the least foggy about. I believe that we will. And how will that affect the other big moving pieces? Obama's disintegrating presidency, Hillary's role in the creation of the Islamic State, and Trump's boisterous but robust declarations to simply smash it. And what about China, that's building islands in the middle of the ocean, or a Russia resurgent in Europe and newly dominant in the Middle East as a result of an American power vacuum? What about an economy with a $20 trillion debt to pay doubled by this president in the last 8 years? What then? No one knows. As I said, it's pretty foggy out there. But there is a bright glow in that nasty, foggy year that just ended to light the one we're about to face, because SpaceX, who had a spectacular launch failure just this past summer, lit up the night skies over Cape Canaveral, Florida, with a perfect launch of its Falcon 9 rocket. Up she went, up into the cloudy skies, and then, for the first time ever, that golden light could be seen coming down again, not in a fireball, but balanced like a pencil on a fingertip to make an absolutely perfect, absolutely breathtaking landing to usher in what some have called One Giant Leap 2.0. Was spectacular. Now look, it's still going to take some getting used to for this Apollo kid to see mission controllers in t-shirts. Some of them look like they're 11. But after it happened, they all started to do this. You know, it actually brought tears to my eyes the first time I saw it, not just the landing, that orange glow out in the fog, but the thought that that billionaire genius Elon Musk and those high-fiving young men and women had just done something that no one else, not the Russians, not the Chinese, and not the Europeans, had ever done or even thought possible. And that they were not just proud of themselves, they were proud of their country. That's a light in the fog for even the most worried of us to steer by.
Well, I think Bill says it like it is.
He does a great job on things.
Yep. So I guess we're at the top of the hour. We got to go to a break, and the news are going to cut us off, and then we'll come back with the second hour of Sovereign Mind Radio.
And this has been KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
We invite you to stay tuned for hour number two of Sovereign Minds. The phone number, if you want to call in, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. President Obama's gun control claims are not holding up to scrutiny. White House correspondent Greg Cluxton reports.
Soon after announcing gun control executive actions, the president's statements were called into question. A fact check by the Associated Press concluded that the president's measures wouldn't have stopped any of the country's high-profile mass shootings. And the Washington Post fact checker column said the president's language was slippery and confusing, and that he was mistaken when he said the rules are different for gun sellers on the Internet. Greg Clugston, the White House.
Meanwhile, the administration is promising President Obama will deliver a, quote, non-traditional State of the Union address Tuesday night, engaging in a broad discussion on the challenges facing the country. Donald Trump, not impressed.
The State of our Union is a mess. We can't beat ISIS. Our military is falling back. It's not being properly taken care of. Our vets aren't being properly taken care of.
He was a guest on NBC TV's Meet the Press program. A report says the government is falling short in ensuring airline pilots keep up their flying skills. The Transportation Department's internal watchdog says pilots may not be getting full training on how to use the sophisticated automated control systems in the cockpits, and there are also concerns that pilots' manual flying skills are eroding. A Mexican official says an apparent desire to go to Hollywood helped them track down and recapture notorious drug kingpin Joaquin Guzman. The official says security forces located the whereabouts of the world's most wanted trafficker, thanks in part to a secret interview he had conducted months ago with actor Sean Penn. The occupation of a national wildlife refuge continues in Oregon today, but the group protesting the federal land management police turned away another group of armed men from the Pacific Patriot Network who arrived Saturday morning, saying they wanted to help. They were sent packing. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-423-4557. That's 1-800-423-4557. 1-800-423-4557. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors not available in all states.
Lebanon has arrested a suspect in connection with a pair of suicide bombings in November that killed 50 people in a Shiite neighborhood of Beirut. Security officials say the man, who they've named as Abu Talha, was arrested in a dawn raid today in the northern city of Tripoli. He belongs to a group that was also planning other attacks around the country. The twin suicide bombings claimed by the extremist ISIS group struck a crowded Shiite neighborhood south of the capital, shattering a relative calm in the country that had held for more than a year, despite the civil war raging in neighboring Syria. A senior Arab official is calling on Arab states to take a, quote, clear stance against Iran's alleged meddling in Arab affairs. The Emirati foreign minister, speaking today to an emergency Arab League meeting, accused the Islamic Republic of intentionally failing to protect Saudi diplomatic posts. There are major tensions between Iran and the rest of the Arab world. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Adolf Hitler's notorious manifesto is now on sale in Germany.
Mein Kampf or My Struggles, a rambling tome Hitler wrote in 1923 outlining his ultra-nationalist, anti-Semitic, and anti-communist ideology, and it led to the Holocaust and the war in Europe. That annotated edition is the first version published in Germany since the end of World War II. The Munich-based Institute for Contemporary History worked for several years on the book, launching it days after the copyright expired at the end of 2015, some 70 years after Hitler's death. The new edition is about 1,950 pages long, roughly double the original, and includes extensive comments by historians meant to contradict and deflate Hitler's writing. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Today is Sunday, January 10th, a birthday for a number of notable people, including opera singer Cheryl Mills, who's 81 years old, Singer Rod Stewart turned 71 today. Willie McCovey, the baseball star, 78. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sovereign Mind Radio, we're back, second hour. It's been pretty fun-filled this morning so far. We've just about made fun of all of our local guys.
Almost all.
Not all of them.
Not all.
We still got a few to go. We went over Silas Lyons, and, you know, he wants to live in California where, you know, it's rosy and sunshine, and, you know, there's no taxes to speak of at all. I mean, and everybody's profiting, and, you know.
Everybody's happy.
Everybody's happy.
Yeah, as long as I have my rock hard abs, I'm good.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy.
Yeah. It'll stay 72 degrees all
happy,
the time.
Happy, happy, happy.
Got happy feet.
Yeah. Oh.
Let's go ahead and play Arnold there, Bob, just because we wanted to get it up here. This is California, you know, right here. This is
from the time they get up in the morning and flush the toilet, they're taxed. Then they go and get a coffee, they're taxed. They get into their car, they're taxed. They go to the gas station, they're taxed. They go for lunch, they're taxed. And this goes on all day long. Tax, 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 tax.
Yeah, I think that's the California I've been living in for a while.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, we're living the dream. Another day in paradise.
Yeah.
The fun never stops.
That's
no
it.
Problem.
The fun never stops in Northern California.
Well, now that we've dealt with Rainbow Unicorn Land, according to Record Searchlight, should we dive into some reality?
Let's go.
What's really going on?
What's really going on? So we wanted to talk about the situation going on in Eastern Oregon around Burns and the Hammond family and the standoff that's going on out there at the Malheur Reserve and all of these things. Very briefly, for those of you that don't know, what the center's on is a ranching family, the Hammonds, from outside of Burns, Oregon. The father and the son were recently just re-sentenced to 5 years in prison in regards to a couple of fires. In 2001, Dwight Hammond, the father, lit a fire on his own land that was a range fire designed to burn off juniper and sagebrush to improve the grazing land. What a lot of people don't know is he actually called BLM that day, received permission to light that fire and burn, and a burn day. Ultimately, that fire did escape his private land and got on to the public land and burned 139 acres. Dwight Hammond actually called BLM to inform them that the fire had escaped his land to go on to public land, and BLM replied with, "Don't worry about it, we're just going to let it burn itself out." Okay, ultimately, in 2012, let's go with the 2006 case of the son, Stephen Hammond. In 2006, there were numerous lightning storms in eastern Oregon that started a giant conflagration. Basically, eastern Oregon was on fire. During that time, there were several fires that were in the Malheur Reserve that were burning towards the Hammond Family Ranch. These fires were being, quote-unquote, managed by BLM, which means they were paying fire units to stand around and watch it burn land. Now, as the land approached the Hammonds, Stephen Hammond went out and lit a backfire along his property line to create a fire break between his winter grazing feed and the fire. That fire escaped the Hammond land and burned about an acre of public property. Okay. Ultimately, that lightning fire burned into the fire break that Stephen Hammond had created and saved their winter feed. Okay. Now, at the time of these, both Dwight Hammond and Stephen Hammond on both of these cases were brought up on charges of arson by the federal government. The local district attorney refused to take up the case, said there's no merit here, and dropped it. Now we fast forward to 2012, and the federal government brings prosecution against the Hammonds, and they go after them for 12 counts of different things, from vandalism to arson to terrorism to all of these different things. The first thing that the federal government fails to do is provide evidence to a grand jury. Okay, you're going after the Hammonds for terrorism, which is considered a capital crime. Under the Fourth Amendment, no person shall be tried for a capital crime in the United States without an indictment of grand jury. The federal government never gets an indictment out of a grand jury and moves ahead with this prosecution anyways.
Did it go to a jury trial?
It did go to a jury trial. It went to a jury trial not of their peers, but from a jury in a separate county, because the federal government wouldn't even try the Hammonds in their own county among a jury of their peers. They moved it to another county. The trial went forward. Out of the 12 counts, the jury did find the Hammonds guilty of arson. Okay. Now, the federal government demanded that because they were found guilty of arson and arson on land owned or leased by the federal government is to be considered terrorism, that the Hammonds be sentenced as terrorists with a mandatory 5-year sentence. Okay. Now, the jury itself refused to find the Hammonds guilty of terrorism, even though they found them guilty of the arson. So you have this judge, Mike Hogan, and reading through the transcripts of how it went, Mike Hogan refused to qualify the arson crime as a terrorist act because, number one, it states under the terrorism statute that any malicious use of fire explosives on federal property or property leased to the federal government that leads to the destruction of that property is to be construed as terrorism. Nobody ever said that the Hammonds acted in a malicious manner. Even the government guys, the BLM guys, testified that they had no belief that the fire set by the Hammonds were malicious. So it didn't meet that qualification.
I'm not sure it could meet the qualification of arson. I'm not sure how the jury convicted him, unless there was some jury tampering, which is the typical case. They tell them to judge not. You know, most of the judges tell them to judge the case by not the law, you know, but by whether they actually did it or not. And back in the old days, you were supposed to judge the law as well as the case to see if the law was a good law, you know, so.
Hence the ability of jury nullification.
Exactly.
So as this goes forward, the second thing is, the second qualification for terrorism under the arson statute is that it had to lead to the destruction of property. Now, here's where you run into a real problem, is because when they went to go and assign a monetary value to the destruction of the property, they couldn't do it because BLM itself testified to the fact that due to the burn, the removal of the sagebrush and the juniper actually increased the value of the land. So there was no destruction of the land. Anyways, this continues through. The judge refuses to sentence him under the terrorism statute and actually cites the Eighth Amendment, where he states even if this fell within the qualifications of the terrorism statute, I, as the judge of jurisdiction, have a right to interpret the intent of the law. I do not interpret this law to have the intent to include the actions committed by the Hammonds, and even if I did, I would refuse to sentence them under the statute, as I would find it unconstitutional as cruel and unusual punishment, for it would shock my conscience to sentence these men to 5 years for this crime.
Well, not only that, isn't there a double jeopardy issue here as well?
Well, they never got tried the second time.
They never got tried the second time. That's what we're getting to. Is
yeah, but you can't just change the...
Well, they did.
Okay, so Dwight Hammond, the father, gets sentenced to 3 months. Okay, Stephen Hammond, because he had a prior case of where he got into it with Fish and Wildlife, gets a year. Both of these guys complete their sentence, doing their probation, no problem. Now we fast forward to October of 2015, and the federal government comes back again and decides to vacate the sentence that was handed down to these guys and resentence the Hammonds for terrorism. Now, a lot of people say that's double jeopardy. Technically, it's not double jeopardy because they were never convicted of terrorism. They were sentenced for a crime they were never convicted of.
Well, that's not double jeopardy. That's sentencing without a trial.
That's without due process.
Yeah, there's
of
no
law.
Due process yeah. of law there.
But then there's the case that there was due process of law, and they were actually found not guilty under that
right.
due process of law. So they resentenced him altogether. Now people start looking at the players.
They have an attorney. I mean, good.
Well, they did. They had in the second case they didn't really have an attorney because there was no trial. Basically, a United States Ninth Circuit court opened itself in Eugene, Oregon in October and said, we're convened, we are vacating the sentence of the Hammonds and imposing a new 5-year sentence under terrorism, case closed.
I don't think that's legal.
It's not.
Well, it's not.
Well, that's now you're beginning to understand the argument that's going on in Eastern Oregon. Okay, and then we start to look at some of the players that are involved here. Is in 2012, the lead BLM person that was going after the prosecution for the Hammonds is also the wife of then head of the Malheur Reserve. Okay, the Hammonds lands back up to this Malheur Federal Reserve. Okay, the BLM has been after all of the ranchers' land surrounding that Malheur Reserve in an attempt to expand the reserve. They're having issues now where it's coming to light that the BLM actually broke open dams and levees to flood other ranchers' land to drive them out. Okay, so you have this.
So the plot sickens.
Oh, badly, badly. Yeah. This is the surface. Okay, so then you come to find out that the gal that worked for BLM was the wife of the head of the Malheur Reserve. Upon sentencing of the Hammonds in 2012 for the original sentence, she quits her job as working for the BLM. She is now the deputy director of climate policy in Sacramento under Jerry Brown.
Wow.
Okay. Uh-huh. Then you go fast forward again to 2015, and the lead U.S. attorney out of Oregon that prosecuted this case, she just resigned her position 3 days ago, okay, for two reasons. She's under investigation for stalking of one of her fellow employees. This guy actually went and got a restraining order fearing from his life from this lady, okay? And not only that, she's under investigation because of the pay-to-play Kitzhopper thing. And if everybody remembers, there's this billionaire greenie called Tom Steyer that was paying then Oregon Governor Kitzhopper's girlfriend under the table to ensure that he got contracts for green projects, things of this nature. Tom Steyer has been a big pusher of the Malheur Reserve, has spent a lot of money trying to expand the Malheur Reserve, was making these illegal payments under the table to then Oregon Governor Kitzhopper's girlfriend to ensure that projects like this were continuing forward. And the U.S. attorney that just resigned was also under investigation for potentially having a hand in covering that up. These are the people on the government side that is surrounding this situation. So the Hammonds have chosen to accept their resentencing. They're out of money. They're out of options. They've been hit in the head for 20 years by the federal government. They have no recourse, and frankly, they were flat threatened by the federal government. Their family that was to remain on the land was threatened with having their grazing permits canceled by BLM. The Hammonds themselves were threatened to be put into a less than protective area of the federal penitentiary system if they resisted the sentencing. The Hammond family was flat threatened by the federal government. So in response, several patriot groups, the Oregon 3%, Pacific Patriots Network, several of these people went to Burns on a Saturday ago, and they marched in support of the Hammonds. They marched by the local sheriff's office and threw out coins in front of the sheriff's office to show their opinion that the sheriff was bought off because he is refusing to protect the Hammonds or intervene in this situation. They then marched to the Hammond family ranch. They left flowers, things like that. Some of them sat and had dinner with the Hammonds. They set up a fund to help the Hammonds while Dwight and Stephen are in jail. There was offers of people that will show up and help work the land while they're gone so they can try and keep the family ranch. While this was going on, Eamon Bundy, one of the sons of Cliven Bundy, and several other militiamen went out and occupied the Malheur Reserve Visitor Center. Okay. Now, that situation has continued to be what it is. Eamon Bundy is making a stand out there saying that, you know, the time for this kind of thing is now. It's got to stop. The federal government has not really responded so much with direct or deliberate action. The FBI is in charge of it. And as of late, basically the occupiers and the FBI are just kind of sitting there staring across the open prairie at each other. And there was a meeting with Harney County Sheriff, I believe Friday, to see if there was a peaceful resolution possible. I'm not sure of the specifics. I do know that meeting broke down very rapidly and not in a conducive fashion. After that, the Oregon 3%ers, the Pacific Patriots Network, Constitutional Guard, these guys issued a call to action. They arrived yesterday, and what they are doing is they've actually formed a perimeter between the occupiers and the FBI and have informed both sides that they are there to ensure a peaceful resolution, that they are there to ensure there's no aggressive action out of the occupiers, there's no overly aggressive action out of the federal government. They're there to act essentially as a neutral third party and to help kind of communicate and bring the situation to a peaceful resolution.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I have two comments or questions. One was, isn't it coming out that the land is actually rich in minerals? Is that's one reason that BLM is in the process
natural gas and uranium.
Yeah.
And that actually goes back to the Clintons and the Steens Mountain Range.
And then I don't think people know either. Originally, I think it was they were sentenced to pay a $400,000 fine, the Hammonds, meaning the Hammonds. And they paid half of that already, even though it was determined that they hadn't done any damage to the property.
They had actually improved the value.
They improved the value and still went ahead and was paying money towards this fine of $400,000 tune of $200,000.
That's another thing that has been kept real quiet by the mainstream media. Along with this resentencing was a $400,000 fine for destruction of federal property, even though nobody can tell you what property was destroyed.
Right.
Okay. Now, the Hammonds, to pay this fine, after all of these court fees and everything they've been hit with, have to sell part of their ranch to pay that $400,000 fine that they are required to pay within 36 months. Well, the father and the son are both in prison and unable to provide for their family. Now, as soon as that property went up for sale, BLM showed up under eminent domain law and said, we will have first right of refusal to purchase the land. This is absolutely about taking the Hammonds' land.
Yeah.
You know, anybody that's watched the situation has been heartbroken about it, is disgusted. I don't believe there are many that condone the actions of Ammon Bundy and the militiamen up there that have seized this building. I know it's the opinion of the Oath Keepers, the Three Percenters, many in the Patriot Movement, that they shouldn't have done it in the first place, that even though they have done it, they have accomplished more than they should have hoped to accomplish in generating public sentiment and getting eyes on the situation out there. It's time for them to go home. They've done what they needed to do.
Right, because the Hammonds requested for this not to be done, if I know correctly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why do they want the land so bad? Is there some kind of minerals going on there or something? I heard something about uranium.
Uranium. There's natural gas. And they want the expansion of the Malheur Public Reserve, okay? And a lot of what's going on is these monuments that the government's been running around creating as fast as they can over the last few decades. The rights to those lands are now being sold to foreign companies, hence the Oak Bottom Reserve down in Arizona, where Apache land, it's traditional Apache land, it's part of the Apache reserve down there.
The reservation.
The reservation. The mineral rights has now been sold to a foreign corporation. They actually hid that in a military funding bill. And now you have the sovereign land of the Apaches that the United States government has sold the mineral rights to their land to a foreign government.
Isn't that just what Hillary's emails are starting to imply, too, that they're getting paid off and they sold uranium?
That was out of Wyoming, and it's the exact same sort of situation that's going on. It's naked tyranny. You know, and as I was saying, many people do not support what Ammon Bundy and his guys did, but they understand it.
Right.
You've got to remember, Ammon Bundy and his family have watched things like this their entire lives. They've watched their friends, their family, their neighbors be driven off the land by the federal government. And let's be very clear about something, because one of the basic precepts that people do not understand, and it'll be explained really well here in a little bit, is that the federal government does not own the land. For BLM to say that they own the land is similar to you having a housekeeper that works at your house for 5 years and says they now own your house,
right?
Because they've been keeping your house for 5 years. Oh, and by the way, they've been breaking your stuff and stealing grandma's jewelry the whole time.
Right. And BLM isn't just picking on Oregon. They've got this going on in Texas, Oklahoma. This is going now starting
all
to
over
pop
the
up.
West.
Yeah. So. That they're coming in and doing this.
But so that's essentially the situation as how it has occurred. The situation as it is occurring is that the occupiers are there, the FBI is there, the Three Percenters have now arrived there to intervene between the two, hopefully to bring a peaceful resolution. And we wanted to play a video of Representative Greg Walden out of Oregon and his speech to the to the Congress about what's going on, because he really kind of lays it out there and the understanding that people need to have of what's going on.
Okay.
Well, you got it queued up there, Bob?
Yeah, we can start it.
Yeah, go ahead and start it, and then we'll see what's happening. Or do you want to take a break first, or should we?
Why do we do that?
Okay, let's take a break.
We'll take a break and come back with the video and let this guy tell you exactly what's going on and what you can do about it. This has been KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Welcome to Wellgate Sports Club. I'm Deanne Lawrence, your membership director. Every member of the Wellgate team have raised the bar to ensure that you, as a valued member, will experience high-end amenities and a quality of service that exceeds fitness industry standards. At Wellgate Sports Club, we understand that each member has unique fitness and lifestyle goals.
Hi, I'm Tina Brandt, Team Training Director. Wellgate Sports Club has implemented several small group training programs, including our popular saltwater aquatic group training, and now the TNT program, which offers the expertise and direction of a certified personal trainer without the expense of one-on-one personal training. All Wellgate Sports Club trainers are credentialed, experienced professionals who are committed to our members achieving their health and fitness goals. To inquire about Wellgate small group training programs, please contact the Wellgate Fitness Director at 530-768-1205. Wellgate Sports Club, where you will experience exceptional every day.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
I'm alright. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be?
Back, go ahead and let's just go straight into
the video.
And who is this?
This is Representative Greg Walden. He's the congressman for the area out there in Burns, and he really lays it out not just for Eastern Oregon, but for what's happening in the entire Western United States.
That go, Bob.
I thank the speaker, Mr. Speaker. So I'm sure my colleagues are aware of the situation in Harney County, Oregon, where a group of protesters, armed, have overtaken a federal facility, the National Wildlife Refuge. This group is led largely by people who are not necessarily from Oregon, although they obviously have supporters from Oregon. They are originally there to protest the sentencing of Dwight and Steve Hammond. I know the Hammonds. I've known them for probably close to 20 years. They're longtime responsible ranchers in Harney County. They have been sentenced to prison, not once, but now twice, and I'll get into that in a moment. But the point I want to make at the outset here is for people in this chamber to understand what drives people to do what's happening tonight in Harney County. I've had the great honor and privilege to represent Harney County for a number of years. I have seen the impact of federal policies from the Clinton administration to the Obama administration. I have seen what happens when overzealous bureaucrats and agencies go beyond the law and clamp down on people. I have seen what courts have done. And I have seen the time for Congress to act, and then it has not. I want to put this in perspective because I think it's really important to understand how big this region is. My congressional district in Oregon is something like the seventh or eighth biggest in the Congress by size. If you overlaid it over the East Coast, it would start in the Atlantic and end in Ohio. The county where this occupation is taking place, Harney County, is over 10,000 square miles, and there are 7,000 souls inhabiting it. If my math is right, that's one person for every 1.4 miles. One person for every 1.4 miles. It's 10 times the size of Rhode Island, just this one county. It's larger than the state of Maryland. And 72% of it is under the command and control of the federal government. It is the public's land. That is true. But what people don't understand is the culture, the lifestyle of this great American West. And how much these ranchers care about the environment, about the future, about their children, about America, and how much they believe in the Constitution. And now we see the extent they will go to defend what they view as their constitutional rights. Now, I am not defending armed takeovers. I do not think that's appropriate. And I think the time has come for those to consider that they've made their case in the public about what is happening in the West, and perhaps it's time for them to realize they've made their case and to go home. But I want to talk about what happened with the Hammonds. And I want to put in perspective of what happens almost every year, and that is these enormous wildfires. The Miller Homestead wildfire in 2012 burned 160,000 acres, mostly in this county, if not all, 250 square miles, quarter the size of the state of Rhode Island. That was just in 2012. The Berry Point fire that year in Lake County next door burned 93,000 acres. Last summer alone, we burned 799,974 acres across Oregon. That's both forest and high desert. 2012, 3.4 million acres burned in Oregon. There was another fire in Malheur County, the Long Draw Fire in 2012, burned 557,000 acres, five times the size of Rhode Island. So 93,000 acres, 557,000 acres, 160,000 acres, all burning. The Hammonds are in prison tonight for setting a backfire that they admit to that burned 139 acres. And they will sit in prison, time served, and time going forward, 5 years. Under a law that I would argue is never intended to mete out that kind of punishment. And I'll get that to a moment. I've told you I worked with the Hammonds and many ranchers in Harney County. In the last years of the Clinton administration, despite their own agencies, reviews, and analysis, Bill Clinton threatened to create a giant monument on Steens Mountain. And when Secretary Babbitt, Interior Secretary at the time, came before the House Resources Committee, of which I was a member, I said, Mr. Secretary, your own resource advisory committees in the area just reported that there was no need for additional protection on Steens Mountain, and yet you and the president are threatening this national monument. Why do you waste the time of the citizens to go through a process to determine if additional protections are needed and then ignore what they came up with? To Bruce Babbitt's credit, he agreed when I told him, I think you'd be surprised about what the local ranchers and citizens of Harney County would be willing to do if you gave them a chance. To his credit, he said, all right, I will give them that chance. And he did. We went to work on legislation. It took a full year. I worked with the Hammonds. I worked with Stacey Davies. I worked with all kinds of folks. Put a staffer on it full time, multiple staffs. And we worked with the environmental community and others. And we created the Steens Mountain Cooperative Management and Protection Act. Model legislation, never been done before, because I said, we don't have to live by past laws. We write laws. So we wrote a new law to create a cooperative spirit of management in Harney County. Hammonds were part of that discussion. They say we saved a running camp that Harlan Wyarty runs. We protected Inholder. We tried to do all the right things and create the kind of partnership and cooperation that the federal government and the citizens should have. Let me fast forward on that particular law. Not long after that became law, and it was heralded as this monumental law of great significance and new era and cooperation and spirit of cooperation, some of those involved on the other side and some of the agencies decided to reinterpret it. And the first thing they tried to do is shut down this kids' running camp because they said, well, too many, maybe more than 20, run down this canyon back up, as they had for many, many years. So they wanted to shut it down. So we had to fight them back, said, no, the law says historical standards. Then the bureaucrats, because we said you should have your historical access to your property if you're up on Steens Mountain, you should maintain that access like you've always had it. Do you know what the bureaucrats said? They began to solicit from the inholders in this area, how many times did you go up there last year? You see, they wanted to put a noose around the neck of those who were inside. That was a total violation of what we intended. And we had to back them off. See, the bureaucracy wants to interpret the laws we write in ways they want. And in this case, they were wrong. Not once, but twice. And then a couple years ago, I learned that despite the fact we created the first cow-free wilderness in the United States under this law, and said clearly in this law that it would be the responsibility of the government to put up fencing to keep the cows out as part of the agreement, the Bureau of Land Management said, no, we're not going to follow that law. And they told a rancher they had to build a fence. I networked with my Democrat colleague, Mr. DeFazio from Oregon, who was part of writing this law. I said, Peter, you remember that, right? He said, yeah, I didn't like it, but that was the case. BLM still wouldn't listen. So we continued to push it. And they argued back. Well, it turns out there had been a second rancher who brought this to my attention, who they were telling had to do the same thing, build the fence, when the government was supposed to, under the law I wrote. The agency, the arrogance of the agency, was such that they said, we don't agree with you. Now, there aren't many times, Mr. Speaker, in this job when you can say, I know what the intent of a law was. But in this case, I could because I wrote the law. I knew the intent. Oh, that wasn't good enough. No. The arrogance of these agency people was such that we had to go to the archives and drag out the boxes from 2000, when we wrote this law, from the hearings that had all the records for the hearings and the floor discussion, to talk about the intent. And our retired member, George Miller, actually, we used some of his information where he said the government would provide the fencing. They were still reluctant to follow it. So I put language in the appropriations bill that restated the federal law.
Do you understand how frustrated I am at this? Can you imagine how the people on the ground feel? Can you imagine? If you're not there, you can't. If you're not there, you can't. You ridicule them. Yeah, Portland, Oregonians running a thing. What do you send them? Meals for militia. Let's have fun with this. This is not a laughing matter from any consequence. Nobody's going to win out of this thing. This is a government that has gone too far for too long. Now, I'm not condoning this takeover in any way. I want to make that clear. I don't think it's appropriate. There's a right to protest. I think they've gone too far. But I understand and hear their anger. Right now, this administration, secretly, but not so much, is threatening in the next county over, that looks a lot like this one, Malheur County, to force a monument of 2.5 million acres, we believe. I think this is outrageous. It flies in face of the people and the way of life and the public access. There's a company, Keen Shoes. It already has a big marketing campaign. This is about selling shoes, for God's sakes. I call on the president, if he wants to help reduce the tension that's out there, to walk away from this. And if he doesn't want to walk away and say, no, we're not going to do that, to help us bring down this level of frustration and anger, then at least be honest, or his Secretary of Interior needs to be honest with us and tell us they are going to do it. Either they are or they aren't. But all they are is being coy. That feeds into this. It feeds into the anger that I feel. It feeds into the anger out there. So the president should say, I'm not going to do a national monument. I'm not going to add more fuel on this fire in the West. We've fought other issues. More than half of my district is under federal management, or lack thereof. They've come out with these proposals to close roads into the forests. They've ignored public input. They often claim to have all these open meetings and listen to the public, and then, in the case of Lowell Whitman, the forest supervisor, who was eventually relieved because of this, I believe, completely ignored all the meetings, all the input, all the work of the counties and the local people, and said, forget it, I'm going my own direction. There were 900 people turned out at the National Guard Armory where they had a public hearing, standing room only and beyond, furious. You see, how do you have faith in a government that doesn't ever listen to you? How do you have faith in a government that when elected representatives write a law, those charged with the responsibility of implementing it choose to go the other direction and not do so? That is what's breaking faith between the American people and their government. And that's what has to change. The other thing that has to change is the law under which the Hammonds were sentenced. Now, they probably did some things that weren't legal. I've given you the size of the acreages that burn naturally. I haven't gotten into the discussion about how these fires are often fought and how the federal government frequently will go on private land and set a fire without permission to back burn. That happens all the time. In fact, in the Berry Point fire down in Lake County, they set fire on private timberland as a backburn while the owners of the property were putting out spot fires down in the canyon. I drove down there afterwards. They're darn lucky to have come out alive. There's nobody sentenced under the Terrorism Act there. Oh, heck no. It's the government. They weren't sentenced. Nobody was charged. Oh, it just happened. Now, fires are tough to fight. I have great respect for firefighters. There are always two sides on how these fires get fought. But I can tell you a few years back in Harney County, because I went and held a meeting out there right as the fire was being put out, that the Fire crews came in, went on private ground, lit a backfire on private ground behind a fence line that then burned out the farmer's fence, the rancher's fence, and burned all the way over and down into a canyon where there was a wetland, which would have been the natural break to stop the fire from the other side. You see, they never needed to burn that land. These things happen in the course of fighting fire. Doesn't mean they're right. But rare is it that somebody ends up 5 years in prison. Let me tell you what the senior judge said when he sentenced the Hammonds the first time. Judge Michael Hogan, senior federal judge, highly respected in Oregon. He sentenced Dwight Hammond to 3 months, Steve to a year. There were different offenses here. And he said, I am not going to apply the mandatory minimum. And because to me, to do so under the Eighth Amendment would result in a sentence which is grossly disproportionate to the severity of the offenses here. The judge went on to say, and with regard to the Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act of 1996, this sort of conduct would not have been conduct intended under the statute. When you ask, you know, what if you burn sagebrush in the suburbs of Los Angeles and their homes up the ravines, it might apply. Out in the wilderness here, I don't think that's what the Congress intended. And in addition, it just would not meet any idea I have of justice proportionality. It would be a sentence which would shock the conscience to me. Close quote. Senior Judge Mike Hogan, when he did the original sentencing. But you see, under this 1996 law, under which they were charged and convicted, it turns out he had no judicial leeway. He could not mete out a sentence that was proportionate to what the crime was. So yesterday, Dwight and Steve went to prison again. Dwight will be 79 when he gets out. Steve will be about 50. Meanwhile, Harney County on the ranch, Susie will continue to try and survive. 6,000 acre ranch. She needs grazing permits to make this happen. It would be a cruel and unjust act, by the way, if access to those grazing permits that allowed it to work were not extended. What possible good could come out of bankrupting a grandmother who's trying to keep a ranch together? Well, her husband sits in prison, her son sits in prison. What possible good? They'll serve their sentences. There's nothing short of clemency that the president only can offer that we can do. But we can change that law. And we should. So that nobody ever is locked in like that is for a situation like this where a senior judge literally on his final day on the bench said, this goes too far. Goes too far. They appealed that, by the way, and lost. But I believe the judge was right. We have to listen to the people. We have to understand why events like this are taking place in our communities. They're taking place in cities. We've witnessed that. And we try and get our heads around it. There are more people from the cities, so there are more members from the cities. There aren't many of us that represent these vast, wide open, incredibly beautiful, harsh districts like the one I do. And the people there loved the land. It was the ranchers who came up with the concept of the cooperative management. It was the ranchers who love Steams Mountain and know that for them to survive, they have to take care of the range. They're good people. Their sons and daughters, by a higher proportion, fight in our wars.
and die. And I've been to their funerals. So to my friends across eastern Oregon, I will always fight for you. But we have to understand there's a time and a way. Hopefully the country, through this, understands we have a real problem in America. How we manage our lands and how we're losing them. It's not like we haven't tried here, Mr. Speaker. Year after year, we pass bipartisan legislation to provide more active management on our forests so we don't lose them all to fire, and we're losing them all to fire. And we're losing firefighters' lives, homes, watersheds, great resources of the West. Teddy Roosevelt would roll over in his grave. You know, he created this wildlife refuge in 1908. There were some bad actors there in the 80s, by the way, that were very aggressive running the refuge, basically threatening eminent domain and other things that took ranches. It was bad. And that lasted for at least a decade or more. It's gotten better, though. It's not perfect. But there's a much better relationship, and the refuge and the ranchers work closer together. And in fact, during this fire in 2012, refuge actually opened itself up to the ranchers for hay and feed because theirs was burned out because of this big fire. So there was a better spirit there, but there's still these problems. The threat of waters of the U.S. shutting down stock ponds and irrigation canals and a way of life. Threat of fire every year that seems to not be battled right and just gets away. And no one's really held accountable. The continued restriction on the lives of the men and women who, for generations, have worked hard in a tough environment. It's just gone too far. It's hurtful. And I hope people understand how serious this is felt and how heartfelt this is by those who pay their taxes and try and live by the law and do the right things and how oppressed they feel by the government that they elect and the government they certainly don't elect and how much they will always defend the flag and the country, and their sons and daughters will go to war, and some will not come back, and they have not from this area. There's a better solution here. The president needs to back off on the monument. The BLM needs to make sure Susie Hammond isn't pushed into bankruptcy and then her ranch taken by the government and added to those that have been. And we need to be better at hearing people from all walks of life and all regions of our country and understanding this anger that's out there and what we can do to bring about correct change and peaceful resolution. It's not too late. We can do this. It's a great country. We have the processes to do it right. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I yield back the balance of my time.
Well, there you have it. That's a pretty heartfelt message from the congressman.
Yeah, he kind of lays it out there, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, it's a big land grab, and I think it is too late at this point to deal with what we've got. As far as we've got to change it back. I mean, there's no asking, there's no getting the votes right. There's, in my opinion,
We have to take it back.
When the government nakedly ignores the rule of law,
right,
openly and blatantly, what response is there left?
Well, that's it, and that's exactly what we're getting. We're getting to a point where they don't care about the law. I mean, when was the last time Obama cared about anything as far as the law? I mean, I'm a constitutional, scholar, really. I debate that. I debate, let's see his past history. I mean, he's got all his records sealed. Let's debate his records and see how and unseal them, and let's see what his past is before we start trusting him to be the constitutional scholar that he purports to be.
Yeah. And where's your other government officials on this? Why aren't they standing up?
Well,
and
what I'm saying
out?
Is our government has been stolen, and it is no longer our government. It is the government not of the by the people for the people and we the people. It is for the
government.
It's for them. Big government has taken over, and we better wake up and realize
it. Well, stay tuned. We'll have the last hour with Sovereign Minds after the top of the hour. And
when we come back, we'll have Chris Ann Hall explaining constitutionally the situation going on out in Oregon.
And hopefully we'll have Sam Paredes calling in. So with that, this has been KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Is preparing for a major speech this week. Reporter Connie Lawn has a preview.
President Obama delivers his State of the Union swan song this Tuesday night. His major emphasis will be on gun controls, and many inside the chamber and outside will object to his statements. There will be an empty chair in the guest box to represent those shot to death in recent years. The president is expected to say the financial state of the Union is strong. He will also refer to tensions in the Middle East and the fight against terrorism. Connie Lawn reporting from Washington.
A report says the government is falling short in ensuring airline pilots keep up their flying skills. The Transportation Department's internal watchdog says pilots may not be getting full training on how to use the sophisticated automated control systems in their planes, and there are concerns the pilots' manual flying skills are getting rusty. A legal tug-of-war has restarted with the recapture of drug kingpin Joaquin Guzman. This is James Bleers reporting.
After two jailbreaks, even the Mexican government now realizes that extradition leading to securing incarceration on U.S. soil is Joaquin Shorty Guzman's ultimate fate. A Mexican government source confirms this. Guzman's back in the Altiplano maximum security penitentiary he escaped from in July.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Has already filed six injunctions against extradition, and more are likely to follow. The significant change in the case is Mexican authorities' newfound willingness to prioritize security in front of sovereignty. That once all the delaying tactics are exhausted, northwards he'll go. James Blair's in Mexico reporting.
French President François Hollande and other dignitaries held a special ceremony today to honor victims of Muslim extremist violence in 2015. That violence killed 150. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-423-4557. That's 1-800-423-4557. 1-800-423-4557. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop. You save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors not available in all states.
Police have been questioning the friends of an American found dead in her Florence apartment, as Italy's expat community is hoping the case won't turn into another Amanda Knox-style headline-grabbing murder investigation. Police opened a murder probe yesterday after 35-year-old Ashley Olson of Summer Haven, Florida, was found dead, her neck bruised and scratched. Police say they have questioned Olson's boyfriend, a local artist, but have no suspects so far. Meanwhile, friends and fellow expats are expressing horror at the slaying of a woman well-known and liked around Florence. Local officials in a central Chinese province have violated rules in forcibly demolishing part of a hospital, sending medical staff fleeing and burying under rubble six bodies being processed at a morgue. That's the word from the state broadcaster today. A district official who had been overseeing the demolition work in the city of Jeonju has been fired. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The nation's leading public health agency is focusing its ongoing attack on electronic cigarettes on the issue of advertising now, saying too many kids see those ads.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have released national survey results indicating 7 in 10 youth see e-cigarette ads, mostly in stores. CDC officials are concerned that such ads would lead more kids to try them and perhaps regular cigarettes. While there are bans on TV commercials and some other types of marketing for regular cigarettes, there are no restrictions on advertisements for e-cigarettes.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Today is Sunday, January the 10th, the 10th day of 2016. On this day in history, 1776, Thomas Paine anonymously published his influential pamphlet, Common Sense, arguing for American independence. And on this date in 1870, John D. Rockefeller incorporated Standard Oil. More on these stories from townhall.com.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Well, we all made it through Christmas, and we're bearing down on New Year's. We got two more used heaters in and ready to go, and a whole bunch of new ones that just came in. So give Johnny a call and get a free estimate. Northern Lights Energy, kerosene heaters and on-demand water heaters is what we do. If you're tired of big electric and propane bills, come on in and let us show you how we can save you money. We have red and clear diesel, kerosene, gasoline at all of our plants and card locks. If you need a 5-gallon pail or a whole truckload, give us a call. In Corning, see Miss Robin. Weaverville, see Joe. And in Redding, ask for Kathy, Sherry, or Candace. From all of us at Northern Lights Energy, happy holidays, and we do appreciate your business. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Well, welcome back to the third hour of Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. And let's just go right into this Chris Ann Hall, and this kind of tops off the whole Hammond Ranch thing up there and this whole deal and explains the position and why there's a problem.
I'm Chris Ann Hall. I'm a constitutional attorney, author, educator, and talk show host. Let's talk about Oregon, because it's not about the Hammonds. It's not about the Bundys. And it's time to take back the narrative. It's time to stop being directed and led by the media. It is time to stop being directed and led by the federal government's whims. It's time to know the facts. This is not about the Hammonds. This is not about the Bundys. This is about a federal government that is operating outside the supreme law of the land. The people are not acting lawlessly. It is the federal government that's acting lawlessly. The federal government has no authority to own any land outside Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 says that the federal government's only authority to own land is 10 square miles for Washington, D.C., and the amount of land necessary to operate forts and ports at the permission of the states. So if the states don't want the forts and ports anymore, they have the authority to withdraw the permission. The only other section that someone could claim is Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2, that deals with territories and then further expounds on the application of the ownership of land that we talked about in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. Let's be very clear about this territories thing. Go read the Constitution. territory is capitalized. This is a proper noun with a specific meaning, and the federal government owns no territory within the continental U.S. Territory is not even land that the government owns. Territory is land that the government holds in trust for the states. Once a state petitions to become a state and a member of the Union, that is no longer a territory, and the federal government has no authority over it. You see, once a state petitions and becomes a member of the Union as a state, it is an independent, free, and sovereign government. It's called the Equal Footing Doctrine, and even the Supreme Court of the United States upholds this doctrine. It says that every state that enters the Union enters on the same footing as the first 13. Go read the Declaration of Independence. You'll see what that footing is. Independent, free, and sovereign. You cannot be a territory and be sovereign. You cannot be a state and still be a territory. The federal government has no lawful control over any land in the states outside forts and ports and 10 square miles for Washington, D.C. Show me in the Constitution the authority for the Bureau of Land Management. I challenge you to show me, because you cannot. There is no authority for the federal government to dictate to the states or the people how they operate their land. Do not recite to me executive order. There is no phone or pen big enough to alter the Constitution. Do not cite to me congressional act. Congress cannot pass laws to alter the Constitution outside Article 5 amendment process. Article 6, Section 2, Clause 2 says that no law made by Congress contrary to the Constitution is valid. Alexander Hamilton said the same thing in Federalist Papers 33. No law contrary, no law outside the Constitution is a valid law at all. The Bureau of Land Management, the federal government controlling our land, is a law that is lawless. It is outside the Constitution. Do not tell me the Supreme Court said this or that, because the Supreme Court does not have the constitutional authority to expand the power of the federal government or create new powers. That is not the role of the Supreme Court. They don't even have the authority to be the ultimate arbiters of the Constitution. James Madison, the father of the Constitution, tells us in 1798, as he's arguing before the ratification of the Constitution, hey, the Supreme Court of the United States is not above the states. The Supreme Court of the United States cannot make law. The Supreme Court of the United States is not the ultimate arbiter of the Constitution. James Madison so very clearly explains that the ultimate arbiters of the Constitution are the states themselves. They are the creators of the contract. They are the drafters of the contract. They are the people, the ones who actually ratified the contract creating the federal government. The states are the creators of the federal government. They are the controllers of the federal government. It is time for us to understand the proper role and function of our government. Do not tell me Marbury versus Madison. That is circular logic. The Supreme Court cannot create an opinion that expands its own power. When the Supreme Court is the ultimate arbiter of its own power and its own authority, that is not a constitutional republic created by the people. That is an oligarchy where the power rests within the government itself. James Madison said, when the government controls the property of the people, that is not a just government. We need to realize that this is a constitutional republic, government instituted among men, deriving its just power from the consents of the governed. If the federal government is not defined by the Constitution, why do we even have one? If the federal government is not limited in its power by the Constitution, then what is the limit of the federal government's power? If the federal government can dictate to the people and to the states how and when they can use their lands, you are not a freeman. Freemen have control over their property. And when government dictates how you operate your property, the only thing missing in servitude are the physical chains. This is not about the Bundys. This is not about the Hammonds. This is about maintaining the integrity of the Constitution. This is about defending the Constitutional Republic. This is about making a defined and limited federal government that is under the power of the people in the states. So it's up to us to decide. Do we get led by the nose of the media narrative? Do we get controlled by the oligarchical power of the federal government? Or do we declare ourselves freemen? As our Constitution says, government instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. It is time to know the facts. It is time to stand for the truth. It is not about a person. It is not about people. It is about liberty. It is about power of the people. And it is about a limited and defined government. So I ask you today, what do you want? Do you want a constitutional republic where the people control the government, where the states are independent and sovereign? Or do you want a totalitarian oligarchy where a federal government decides what power it can have and it can own and how it can use that power with a pen and a phone or a law? Do we want an unlimited federal government? Or do we want to stand for what's right? Do we want to stand for what's true? I don't care what your politicians say. I don't care what your favorite presidential candidate says. The Constitution is the foundation of America. And if the federal government can set that aside, there is no limit on it at all. It's time, America. It is time to defend the republic. And it is time to put the federal government back in its limited and defined box that will only happen when the people know the truth. Time to make that decision. If the people wish to be ignorant and free, we shouldn't wish for what never was and what never will be. Understand, we are the holders of the power. We are the owners of our property. And when a government dictates property, we are nothing. We are nothing but tributary slaves.
Wow.
Pretty, yeah, that kind of sums it up, doesn't
it? Pretty powerful stuff, you know, and with that... you know, it kind of segues right into our next segment here with Sam Paredes from Gun Owners of California. You know, and with all that said, do you think we need the Second Amendment to protect our rights from an out-of-control, overreaching federal government who at every step of the way in the recent memory has tried to figure out a way to take our guns away from us so that we can't defend ourselves from a out-of-control government? Are you there, Sam?
Yeah. Oh, I don't think he was.
I thought we were going to take a break.
We're going to take a break? Oh, okay.
We're going to go to a break and then come back with Sam, and then we'll ask him that question
again. Okay.
If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North Star.
There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Orchard Nutrition Center's creed is their promise, to offer only the highest quality products that follow strict manufacturing guidelines, because you deserve to live life to the fullest. Since 1982, Orchard Nutrition has always believed that we are all in it together, because the food you eat is a lot more than just a daily activity. The things you consume affect every aspect of your life. Orchard Nutrition Center hosts many exciting educational events throughout the year, including seminars each month featuring experts who present the latest information on a variety of health and nutritional topics. The main focus is on helping you understand how your body works and how to live healthy. These seminars are a great way to learn interesting information in person, and there's always an opportunity to ask questions and really get clarification from the experts. Bring your friends and family. Reservations are not required, but seating is limited. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook for seminar schedules, speakers, and topics. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly, local, whole food store.
Abby, will you be joining us January as we kick off the 2016 Haven Humane Society's Second Tuesday Dinners at Kahuna's Mongolian Barbecue?
Yes, I love seeing the grill warriors cooking on that Mongolian grill.
That's right. And with something for everyone, it's a lot of fun loading up your bowl with all your favorites, creating your own stir fry and sauce combinations.
Please join us on Tuesday, January 12th at Kahuna's Mongolian Barbecue on Market Street as they kindly donate a portion of the proceeds to Haven to help care for the animals and work towards placing them in forever homes.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
This is Carl and the Bot. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, your talk radio station. On Monday, we welcome Record Searchlight and managing editor Carol Ferguson. Let's find out what her thoughts are on the biggest stories of 2015 and what's coming up in 2016. This and much more. Monday, right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Radio, home of the Free Fire Media. Boy, we're talking about some hot topics today.
Jamming and, along.
Getting right there. We have on the line with us Sam Paredes. Sam Paredes from California Gun Owners, I'm assuming. And I have one question. The Second Amendment wasn't intended to guarantee your safety. It was intended to guarantee your ability to fight back. What do you think about that, Sam?
Well, actually, you're in essence absolutely correct. It was given to us because our founding fathers knew better than anybody else that the only way to protect against tyranny in this new country was to have the people armed so that they can rebel if they ever had to. And it's true. They did talk about personal defense and hunting and recreation, but the big thing was to protect against tyranny.
Right, and it seems like you know, we've got the president tearing up here lately. You know, he's all broke up because, you know, we can't seem to stop the gun violence. And the only way that he can come up with is to take all of our guns away from us so that we can't defend ourselves.
You know, our biggest concern with this president is not even the fact that he's talking about that he's affecting the Second Amendment. That is incredibly important. But when you have a president, a leader, who appoints himself both the writer of the laws, the legislator, and the enforcer of the laws, then you have a tyrant. Then you have a despot.
You have a
dictator. Yeah. And, you know, when you write the laws and you enforce the laws that you write, as opposed to our form of government that our founding fathers gave us with checks and balances and three co-equal partners, and he's just ignoring those.
Well, you know, and this whole executive order thing drives me crazy because, well, Bush did executive orders. Well, so two wrongs make a right, huh? I mean,
it's the lesser of two evils.
It's insane.
You're absolutely correct. It doesn't matter which president does an executive order. If an executive order takes a legislative action or usurps a legislative action, it's unconstitutional. And the other leg of our government, the court should be deeming it unconstitutional and making it unenforceable. So we need guts at all levels of government. We need guts from our Supreme Court justices. We need patriots and people with courage in the legislature, in the Congress, and certainly we need a president that has a love for this country and has guts to protect it.
And I'll go one step further. We need a bunch of people with guts out here in the populace that are going to stand up and say, no, I'm not going to comply with this stuff. I'm not going to follow the law because it's not legal. You know, when you circumvent the Constitution, it's null and void, just like our last speaker said. So the real deal is that the power does rest in the people, and we have to stand up and get rid of the guys who aren't going to follow the Constitution, and we're not going to follow the law that's implemented if it's unconstitutional.
You're absolutely correct. You know, President Harry Truman had the sign on his desk, the buck stops here. And in reality, the buck doesn't stop at the president's desk. It stops at our front door. We are a government of the people and by the people, and everything that is up there is because we either allowed it or we were too lazy to be involved.
Yep.
And it's time to stand up and fight to get this government back under control and following the Constitution. So it's so important what you guys are doing with this radio program, letting people know and encouraging people to get involved, informing them about how their rights are being taken away, which we hope translates into political action on the part of your listeners.
Well, I think it is. I mean, the state of Jefferson's kind of a political action that has translated into something that people are starting to have to deal with, whether they like it or not. Down there in Sacramento, it's not going away. I don't know. I mean, it's a little surreal at this point, just because growing up, I never thought we'd be fighting our government in such a way, because mm-hmm. we all were taught that, you know, we were a free people and our government mm-hmm. was the best, but we don't have the government that we were supposed to have or intended to have or is written in the law anymore. The government we have right now is absolutely not following the Constitution.
You know, here's an interesting thought. As corrupt and as unconstitutional as this government is acting right now, we still have the best form of government that has ever been instituted on the face of God's green earth. But it's our responsibility to make it better, to improve it, to make sure that it is truly staying to the Constitution and following the real will and direction of the people. Just because we have the freest country in the world doesn't mean that we get to sit on our posteriors and join it. We have to fight for it. We have to be involved. We have to send our representatives to Congress to fight for our liberty, to preserve our liberties, yep. not to give Congress more powers to do more things. That's contrary to the Constitution. The Constitution was a limiting thing on Congress. It was not a permissive thing, giving them the right to do anything that it didn't talk about. No, it said if it's not written in the Constitution, you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to push back for and fight like crazy, because this country is too great. We have such a rich blessing that we have been bestowed with, and we have to fight to bring it back to even keel and to a constitutional foundation.
Well, if we don't fight for it, we're going to lose it, and we all know that once it's gone, getting it back isn't going to happen.
Well, and the only way mm-hmm. we're able to fight for it is the existing structure that's
yes.
in place.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they'd just say, hey, shut up, go home. And,
yeah, exactly.
You know, there's no First Amendment. There's no Second Amendment. The Constitution's hard to get around because it's so plain that even a layman can understand it.
You know, you just said something that's very prescient, very important for us. To understand, our founding fathers established a system of government that really required us to be involved and gave us plenty of opportunities to shape our government. And until we exhaust all of those things, and I'm here to tell you that for a long time, too many good people sat on their hands and didn't get involved, didn't vote, didn't think their vote counted for anything, thought that their rights would never be infringed, they're never going to come take my guns, all of that good stuff, but they are. So now we have to work, and we have to work hard under the constraints of the Constitution to take this government back. We don't have the right to take up arms until our rights have been abridged to the point where we are not allowed to vote in order to change our country. Up until that time, we have to work incredibly hard in order to fight for freedom. And frankly, we're not there yet.
Well, I'm not saying necessarily armed revolt yet, but I'll tell you what, this is, a quote. The rulers who overleap the great barriers which defends the rights of the people exceed the commission from which they derive their authority, and are tyrants. The people who submit to it are governed by laws made neither by themselves nor by the authority derived from them, are slaves. So, you know, absolutely, we have to not submit if they're not following the law. I mean, that's where I'm at. It's, you know, I'm not saying we're take up arms at this point, but we're not that far away if they keep pushing.
You're right. I mean, if they take away our guns, they take away our First Amendment rights, our First Amendment right of religion, of speech, of assembly. They take those things, and then ultimately they take away our right to vote in order to effect change. Then they have called for revolution. They have stepped over the boundaries, and our founding fathers would be on our side as we revolted against this government. But still, we have the opportunity to organize. What we're doing in the state of Jefferson here, I happen to live in El Dorado County, and would be a proud resident of the state of Jefferson, is doing what our founding fathers said. Are people organizing? Are people fighting? Are people following the Constitution and pushing it to the limit? This is not an easy road.
Yep.
And our founding fathers never said it was going to be easy. As a matter of fact, they warned us that preserving liberty would take all our lives, and every generation would have to fight for it. That's why our founding fathers decided to give us a Bill of Rights, because they didn't trust that future generations would remember what it was like to be under tyranny of England. And they said, we need to enumerate these rights so that people know that they have them and they can fight for them, because once people forget, you know, all manner of craziness can happen.
Well, it's unfortunate that we have to get our nose rubbed in it, so to speak, in order to remember why.
Well, as you bring up, you know, once we have our right to vote removed, and essentially the question the state of Jefferson is asking is not removing our representation and diluting our vote to the point that it is inconsequential, is that not the same thing as removing our ability to vote?
Yeah, well, that's certainly a good argument, and it's an argument that is being brought up literally for the first time in a very, very long time, and the leaders in California are going to have to come to grips with that, with that argument, and we'll take that to court.
Yeah,
and the court should side with us, and if they do, then we will have an opportunity to live in a free state where we have real representation, where we love and honor the Constitution, where we live by the types of principles that made this country great, and I long for that day. Hopefully, in our lifetime. Hopefully, while we are still, you know, young and sprite enough to be able to jump for joy on the celebration when we become the state of Jefferson.
Absolutely,
we're hoping.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. You know, it's essentially, I don't think anybody could disagree with the argument that our representation has been removed. But what the question now becomes is the Constitution still valid, and will the processes of the Constitution remedy that removal of representation, or do they flatly state that the Constitution no longer applies here?
Mm-hmm. Well, you and I know that the Constitution is still viable, is still vibrant, it still applies.
Absolutely.
And is worth fighting for. And that's what we're going to do, and we're going to organize, and we're going to get better at it, and we're going to keep fighting until that Constitution is honored the way our founding fathers expected it to be honored. And it takes a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of people saying, okay, tonight I'm not going to watch, you know, a bunch of TV. I'm going to go and get together with my political group or my Tea Party group or my State of Jefferson folks or with my, you know, service groups, in order to affect government, in order to be a part of this society, as opposed to sitting down and eating potato chips, watching, you know, a ball game or some soap opera, on you know, late night soap opera. We have to give up our comforts in order to fight for freedom. It's not an easy thing, but more and more people are doing it, thankfully.
Well, that's another thing too, is people, that is vital for people to remember, is our founding fathers went out and did the work, and for years they exhausted every single legal option available to them. They did everything within their power to find peaceful and lawful resolution.
That's absolutely correct. We, if if we want to be honest and true patriotic citizens, we should study the history of our country and see that our founding fathers begged, implored, argued with England for our rights and for the just the due liberties that were appropriate for a citizen or subject of England, and they were constantly denied. But you're right. I wish people would study this in school. Kids would study this in school. They exhausted all of the opportunities, all of the avenues they had in order to fight for their liberty, and finally, they were pushed to the point where they had to organize to separate from England, and we had our Revolutionary War, and the greatest country on the face of God's green earth was created because of that. So, you know, we should learn, we should study history and learn from the past so that we can look to the future to see just what we might have to do to preserve liberty.
Well, you know, not changing the subject, but what do you think about the president and his tearful speech the other day? I don't buy it. I mean, the media is, oh, yeah, he's sincere. I don't believe this guy's sincere about anything myself. I mean, you know, I don't want to state your opinion, but I'll tell you what. This guy has lied from day one about everything. To think that he wouldn't go to this extreme, I think he's a narcissistic sociopath myself. What's your opinion?
Ditto. I pretty much agree. I think that he would stoop at nothing. He would take any steps in order to achieve whatever goal he wants. And remember that there are some people in this country and in this world who believe that it is immoral for them not to lie if lying helps them to achieve their goals. I think that it was a shameful display by the president, and when you take into account those things that he is proposing by his presidential orders, executive orders, there in reality are pretty fringy things on the edge. No question they are unconstitutional and violate the Second Amendment and have to be fought tooth and nail, but they are fringy things, and to argue that these things will stop crime, reduce crime, solve crime, or do anything like that is ridiculous. You know, the president goes on and says, well, you know, we know this isn't going to prevent all things. Then why do it? Well, we know it isn't going to prevent crazy people. Then why do it? Well, right. We know there's an ulterior motive, and the ulterior motive, no matter what comes out of their mouth, is to disarm the American public, because they know they can never control us the way they want to control us as long as we're still armed.
Well, and, you know, you look at that and you go, geez, you know, I'm thinking we need a background check on him, you know.
I think they did, and there were a lot of questions that were asked, and then they said, never mind.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this guy, we got no college records. All these records are sealed. This guy wants a background check on all of us out here, but we really don't even know who this guy is, in my opinion. I mean, I'm not a birther or saying that he was born in another country. All I'm saying is that there's a lot of shady things going on with this guy, and, you know, when you put together with the stuff that he has been so pro-Muslim about everything. And you look at the refugee situation, what's going on in Europe, you know, Germany, how, you know, they're being raped, the women, and there's gangs, street gangs, that's not being reported in the media. And we're getting all of this off the alternative media. When you put that all together with this guy's attitude, the Second Amendment, his executive orders, I'll tell you what, it's not hard to come to a conclusion that there's something wrong here.
Yes, you know, I think more and more Americans are realizing that their president and his wife do not like this country. As a matter of fact, they hate this country.
Yeah.
And what they have said, what they have done, is evidence of that. You don't have to, you know, they prove it themselves by how they respond to things. They cannot bring themselves to say that there's a Muslim radical terrorist activity. No, they're not. They can't bring themselves to say that.
Well, I seen a picture of Michelle the other day texting during the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh my goodness!
I mean, that's the First Lady.
if that doesn't speak volumes of what their attitude is, I mean, then I just, I mean, there's no help for a person who doesn't get it.
Yeah. Yeah, you would, you could kind of semi sort of excuse it of a king or queen who is texting while they are being honored or something like that, because they are, you know, dictators and monarchs and the ultimate rule, but not of an elected president who is there by the vote of the people. That's not a they don't have that option, and to disrespect America that way is unconscionable, and people need to take a look at that and say, goodness gracious, if they feel that way about the national anthem, how do they feel about stuff that I don't know about yet?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. You know, what are they doing in the other room?
Well,
gee,
yeah, I know, it's just crazy, isn't it? What's
it
what,
is.
What let's switch gears here a little bit. What's going on in California that we should know about as far as gun control? I mean, we've got Moonbeam Jerry down there, you know, who's you know, basically so screwed up in the head, in my opinion. I mean, he just declared a national state of emergency, or a state of emergency, on this SoCal leak. We find out his sister's on the board of the company.
Surprise!
I know. It's like,
whoops.
So, what do we have to look forward as far as these guys in the Second Amendment in California? What's an update?
Okay.
Or what about Gavin Newsom that makes Jerry Brown look like Charlton Heston?
Sure. First of all, everybody has to realize that we're living under two new laws in California, SB 707, that says that CCW holders cannot carry their concealed firearms on any school property, private or public. It doesn't matter if it's from preschool all the way through universities, unless you have the permission of the school administrator. The state of California has stripped away that authority from our law enforcement officers, our sheriffs, and our chiefs of police, and said, no, school administrators know best as to who should be allowed to carry a concealed weapon on a campus. So do not carry unless you want to be in violation of the law. Be very careful when you go pick up the kids. Don't drive into the driveway to pick them up on the school parking lot. Pick them up on the street. You know, just obey the law. We're fighting hard to overturn that law in the courts. We will. There will be a court challenge. But do not get in trouble for that. The second one, AB 1114, is a bill that creates the gun violence restraining orders. Family members who think a family member is a danger to themselves or others can ask the court to issue a gun violence restraining order. And all that does is it means that they lose their Second Amendment rights until they go to court to defend themselves. But they're not allowed to go to court for 21 days. And what constitutes a family member is anybody who has lived with that individual over the past 6 months. So that could be college roommates, you know, fraternity or sorority, roommates or girlfriends or wives or
that's
whoever. So that's a very dangerous thing and is ripe for abuse.
Absolutely.
So those are the things that we are now under in the state of California.
Well,
I
was just going to say that we in our local one of our local high schools here at Anderson, they're actually their administrators are saying that they're not going to have that law be applied on their campus. They're saying they can carry their teachers.
God bless them. God bless them. And we need more school administrators in California to take that position. So, you know, that's awesome. We need to talk about that.
That was
entire
Anderson school district.
Oh, it's the
not
entire,
just the high school. The entire Anderson school district.
Wow.
Said they will not comply with the law. Bring your
we should see about getting that guy on the radio, maybe.
That would be good. You know. You can't help but love free America right there in Anderson. That's awesome.
Well, people are waking up, like you say, more and more and more. I'm starting to see more and more hope. They're starting to connect the dots, you know, that this isn't some accident in a print room causing a dictionary. These guys are, you know, trying to, you know, systematically dismantle our rights for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's getting to the point that they're starting to feel the pressure themselves.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's getting to that point.
It really is. They have done almost anything and everything they can do in the state of California as far as gun control is concerned at the legislature and the governor's office. They've done everything. Hand ammunition, magazines, handguns, semi-automatic long guns, shot. They've done everything. Waiting periods, all of that, and still San Bernardino happened right under their nose.
Yep.
Santa Barbara happened right under their nose. And as long as they continue to put their attention and hope on gun control, they're going to continue to have these crimes, these acts of violence and terrorism happen, and it's truly going to be their fault.
Well, and let's
not addressing the issues.
Let's just import another 100,000 Muslim refugees from Syria, you know, and you know, we already know the background checks don't work because it didn't work, you know, on any of these other guys, you know, and they already said it doesn't work on the background checks at all. I mean, look, it didn't work on our president, but you know. It's an insanity, and so they're going to continue to, you know, not face the real problem, which is that we've got out of control people out there coming into the country.
Well, I have a question too. Was California's 10-day waiting period was actually found to be unconstitutional? Was it not?
Yes, it was found by a federal district court in Fresno to be unconstitutional in the way it's applied because of the. Once a background check has been conducted on somebody, and they're in the system, it's unconstitutional to make them wait 10 days. That ruling was appealed by the Attorney General. It is now, before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. We're waiting to hear what the Ninth is going to do. Unfortunately, the court is one institution where you can't force them to do things on any sort of a timely basis. They do it whenever they darn well please, and it could take weeks, months, even years for them to come up with rulings, and we're waiting for them to rule on that issue. So yes, that is a very important issue that we are waiting to hear from the courts from.
But under the predication, should not the law be repealed until such a time as an appeal reverses it?
Well, you see, the court has the opportunity to do that, and it's funny that they do it whenever they feel like it, and then when they don't feel like it, they don't do it. So, yes, the court has the opportunity or the authority to do that, but they haven't chosen to do that in this case. So
they can put a stay or an injunction on whatever they
want.
Yes,
they could. Yes, they could, but they haven't. And the reason why the court listened to the Attorney General, who said, we don't have enough people to be able to do that. We'd have to change our entire system in order to comply with the ruling of the court, and we're not capable of doing that. And frankly, the court said, you better figure out how to do it, or I'll do it for you.
Hmm.
And that's when the Attorney General appealed it to the Ninth Circuit and kind of told the Fresno judge, we're not going to do what you want us to do, and so. She took her ball off the court and went home.
Was the Attorney General even part of that case?
Not originally. As typical, you know, she doesn't come in until things go against her. Then she comes in and says, but wait a minute, we don't like your ruling. We now want to be a part of this case. And the courts have reluctantly allowed her to come in at the last minute. What the court should do, and what they would do to us, is to say, all along, you've had an opportunity to be a part of this case, and you've chosen not to. Why are you coming to us now? You have no standing with us. That's what they should do. But the courts, they fall prey to the allure of the Attorney General. And
we're talking about Kamala Harris, is who we're talking about.
Yes, 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 her.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, in California this year, we expect the legislature to come up with all kinds of gobbledygook. I don't know what else they can do, but they're gonna try to do more gun control things that you and I can't even sit and imagine. You know, we'd think that the only other thing they could do is actually take guns away. You know, they're trying to take magazines away with Gavin Newsom's initiative. They're trying to ban the private possession of legally owned magazines that hold more than 10 rounds. We've got hundreds of thousands, if not millions of those in private possession in California. And Gavin Newsom, through his initiative that he is now circulating for signatures, wants to force us to register every time we buy a box of ammunition, have a background check conducted, just like you do when you buy a gun. He wants to force us to get rid of all of the magazines that we have that were grandfathered in by state law and by two different state laws. He wants us to get rid of them. He wants to make us the criminal if we don't report a lost or stolen gun, if we haven't reported it in the time frame that they think we should have reported in if we find out that we've had a gun stolen. He wants to require, excuse me, the Attorney General to provide more information to the FBI for their background checks. Well, the more information that the Attorney General would be providing the FBI are part of those databases that are completely screwed up, and the Auditor General has said twice, you have totally failed to fix this system, and your database is all jacked up from 40% to 70% error rate, and still this is what they want to, you know, send to the FBI. FBI is going to say, we don't want your stinking database. It stinks. It sucks. It's messed up. It's very inaccurate, and we take pride in trying to make sure that our records are accurate. So it's going to be an epic year, folks.
I'll tell you what, Sam, if we don't get the state of Jefferson, they're going to see an exodus out of California of not, you know, of non-compliance.
I keep thinking those of us who live within the boundaries of the state of Jefferson will be enjoying freedom and a rural way of life that this country experienced for decades. But I can't help but think that there will be a lot of people who live in what's the rest of California who are going to want to come and move up and populate our counties. And I don't know how I feel about that yet.
Well, you know, the way California is going, the rest of the state's going to implode anyway financially.
Yeah.
I mean, it's already pretty much there. You know, on a lighter note, you know, and I think we got to go to a quick break here before we go to the top of the hour, but then we're done the last 10 minutes. Have you heard about that California is actually trying to get an initiative passed to force legislatures to wear sponsor patches like NASCAR drivers?
You know, the NASCAR initiative, yes. I think that's great.
I think it's great, too. We should know who we're dealing with.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd, see guys walking in with Standard Oil of California.
Monsanto,
Yeah, Monsanto and Southern California Edison and they should have numbers, too, so that we can refer to them as by numbers as well as by sponsors.
Yeah, they could even get numbers. And number three going into the chute
Yes, number three standing in the well, revving up his engine, ready to go.
Anyway, we need to go to a break.
Okay. If you want to call in, have a question or comment for Sam, give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
By now, I'm sure you're aware of the many advantages that solar energy offers you and your family. Clearly, solar is finding its way into our everyday life. Hi, my name is Sue Blake of Powerhouse Solar. At Powerhouse Solar, we've been installing solar systems on North State homes since 2003. It's important to know that all solar is not the same.
As a solar contractor, we partner with SunPower because having just celebrated their 30th anniversary in the solar industry, they have a proven track record. SunPower is an American solar company which developed and patented the industry's most efficient solar cells and solar panels on the market for a complete solar energy solution. There are many cost-effective solar packages available, some starting for less than a cup of coffee a day. And we want you to have the information you need so that you know of all the solar options available for your family. Experience and commitment to quality. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
Based on the smash hit movie that defined a generation, Flashdance is now live on stage. Across the country, critics and audiences are raving that Flashdance is a super sexy blockbuster, a superbly choreographed, astonishingly danced, Broadway-bound musical. You'd be a maniac to miss it. Flashdance features hot new songs, plus hits like Maniac, Manhunt, and What a Feeling.
Reading Civic Auditorium, January 24th. Get tickets at the box office, 229-0022, or readingcivic.com. Presented by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Radio, home of the Free Fire. Yeah, I kind of long for the old days. That's for darn sure. Two more things, and then we got 5 minutes left with Sam here. One of the stories I got to get out there is the worst start for the Dow Jones in 121 years. So the recovery continues. The last time that if you were driving down to the New York Stock Exchange at 10 Broad Street, you would have been doing it in a horse-drawn buggy. The last time that the market was started out this bad at the beginning of the year. So that
if we don't watch it, we're going to be there again.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure the recovery is not continuing. So, despite all the reports to the contrary and the lies. The other thing is California has issued 605,000 driver's licenses to immigrants. So they've basically, this is another way of diluting our voting. They're basically, gave out 600,000 licenses that were issued out of 830,000 applicants, and AB 60 allows people who can't prove they're in the country legally to obtain driver's licenses using identifications from their home countries. Thus, doesn't that give them the right to vote? Oh. So, I don't know. There you have it. I mean, so we're getting to the point where they are diluting our vote so much that I don't know if it, when we talked about that earlier.
So
but
if I lose my license legally, can I claim that I can't prove what country I'm from and get a new one reissued?
Probably give you food stamps, too.
Yeah, we're
not
driving
you.
Fast tonight.
It works for other people, but it's not going to work for you.
No, they'll probably just arrest you. They'll say, oh, there he is. He's one of those pro freedom guys. And,
yeah, they'll do a background check on
probably
you.
Probably wants a new state. Probably wants a freedom state of Jefferson thing. You throw him in jail. He's obviously a malcontent. Anyway, we got about 5 minutes left, Sam. We really appreciate you coming on the show and your words of wisdom and updates on the Second Amendment issues in California. Have you got anything you want to get out there?
Well, I want people to know that if they want information on what's going on with their gun rights in California, they can go to our website at gunownersca.com, GUNOWNERSCA.com, Google Gun Owners of California. It'll take you, you'll be able to go to our website. We'll let you know what's happening in the courts, what's happening in the legislature, and what's happening in the elections. So you need to be a part of the fight. We encourage everybody, if you've never been involved with the gun rights movement, whether it's the National Rifle Association or California Rifle and Pistol Association, we invite you to join Gun Owners of California and be a part of the fight. The cost of a box of ammo every year will ensure that we have the ability to fight for your rights where the rights are being infringed upon the most, in the halls of the legislature, in the streets where the elections are taking place, and in those walnut paneled rooms in the courthouses where our rights are being debated and considered. So, like I said, this is going to be an epic year. We're going to have initiative. We're going to have lawsuits. We're going to have there are 15 or 16 lawsuits that we're involved in right now. The initiative is going to cost millions of dollars to fight, and we have 80 assembly seats and 20 senate seats. All of the congressional seats are up for election this year. It's going to be a very, very busy year. And if you love your gun rights, you better get involved, period.
Get to fighting or get out of the way. That's the deal.
That's yeah. right.
Time
that's
to step
right.
up and help out.
Yeah, very good. So we got about a minute left. We never have enough time here, no matter how many.
So we want to thank you again, Sam, for coming on and keeping us updated. And we'll have you back.
Yeah, we'll see you at the tea party here pretty
quick. Yeah, on the 25th.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to it. It's always a pleasure. And your audience is awesome. If more people like your audience were around California, we wouldn't have the problems that we have.
We're working on it.
You know, I love your bumper music. Thank you. It's kind of fun to listen and be encouraged. It's a great radio show, and it's a pleasure to be involved with you guys. And remember, Admiral Yamamoto once said, when he was encouraged by all of his underlings to invade America, that we will never invade America because behind every blade of grass there will be an American with his own gun ready to kill us.
Yep. Remember, go ahead. Anyway, remember, government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties.
And this has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
KCNR Shasta Redding.
His major emphasis will be on gun controls, and many inside the chamber and outside will object to his statements. There will be an empty chair in the guest box to represent those shot to death in recent years. The President is expected to say the financial state of the Union is strong. He will also refer to tensions in the Middle East and the fight against terrorism. Connie Lawn reporting from Washington.
Meanwhile, GOP presidential hopeful Donald Trump reveals what he thinks the real state of the Union is.
The state of our Union is a mess. We can't beat ISIS. Our military is falling back. It's not being properly taken care of. Our vets aren't being properly taken care of.
Mr. Trump made those comments this morning on NBC's Meet the Press. Democrat Hillary Clinton.